Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. I can.
Okay, thank you.
All right, just a 2 minute heads up to everybody here. We'll get things started in just 2 minutes. So quickly just grab a drink of water or a quick break if you need it, but we'll get going right at six or right at, yeah, six here.
Abner, you should get a drink of water. You got to hydrate your beard there. Keep your beard hydrated.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It feels pretty moist. It feels pretty good. Soft. I got Coca-Cola has water in it, doesn't it? Yeah, close enough.
It's basically water, yeah.
Basically,
Excellent. So we are right at 6 o'clock. So thank you everybody for tuning in to tonight's episode of Students Council. We've got quorum. So that's good news here, but I'll call the meeting to order right here at 6 p.m. And we'll start it off with the territory acknowledgement. So we'd like to respectfully acknowledge that our university and our students union are located on Treaty 6 territory. We're grateful to be on Cree, Dene, Soto, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papas Chase Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship, and we aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards the decolonization of Indigenous knowledges and traditions. Okay, so in lieu of a smudging ceremony, since we are under COVID-19 situations here. Aside from like any sort of administrative updates, the only thing I really have to update you on is I'm in communications with a few different prospective online voting groups or online voting services to see which sort of service we can run optimally. But I'm also pondering, like, I would like some feedback from counselors at a certain time, just like in a message, or I might even just send out a survey or something to see how people like the Google Forms so far and sort of how people are feeling about the online voting systems. But aside from that administrative part, that's okay. I can't see all of the participants in the list, but if there are any guests, please just indicate so in the chat, and we'll make sure that you are registered. And then looking at the late additions to the main agenda, there was just the one report there from undergraduate Board of Governors Rep Conrad. We can put that onto the main agenda, no problem there. And then President Agarwal, you noted that there was a motion to go in camera. And on the order papers, it's like a standing item, but did you want to still motion that as well?
Yeah, if we don't have to motion, then it's fine, but I do want to go into camera.
Okay, so we can go into camera like near the end of the meeting. That's fine. It's just as per usual on that part. But awesome. So we will move into attendance here to start things off. So President Agarwal.
Present.
Vice President Draper.
Present.
Vice President Lay.
Present.
Vice President Cron.
Present.
Vice President Kidd.
Present.
Board Representative Conrad.
Yeah, I'm present.
Excellent. Councillor Carbajal. And Councillor Dixon.
Yeah.
Councillor DeGrano.
Here.
Councillor Marquez.
Here.
Councillor Oliveira.
Here.
Councillor Veloso.
Here.
Councillor Yabut.
Here.
Councillor Burhani. Councillor Suretsky.
Present.
Councillor Ackerman.
Present.
Councillor Baticki.
Here.
Councillor Bid.
Present.
Councillor Bose.
Here.
Councillor Hariharan.
Present.
Councillor Montero.
Present.
Councillor Buchanan.
Present.
Councillor Filipovich.
Present.
Councillor Brandwein.
Here.
And Councillor Enerson said he wasn't going to be able to come tonight. Councillor Badesha. Councillor Barazesh.
Present.
Councillor Dillon.
Present.
Councillor Futang.
Present.
Councillor Kimani.
Present as a proxy.
Right. Awesome. Councillor Corday.
Present.
And I am also here. Awesome. So,
Jared.
Excuse me, sir. Oh, Mark as well.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. And I do not see any presentations on our order papers today. So we'll go into executive reports. And if any members of the executive would like to submit a report, please indicate so in the chat. Okay, Vice President Draper, do you want to take it over there?
Sure thing, yeah. So, quick report from me. I'll just go over the stuff that happened since I put my report on the agenda, because I'm assuming you all have read through that. Earlier today, I actually took part in a OER Summit student leader panel. So there is representatives from the U of A, from McEwen, Mount Royal, Calgary, I think Lethbridge, and it was a panel all about open educational resources and how they are important and what they can do for students and the importance of advocacy, what the future of them looks like. There's like just under 100 people that are on, like, that showed up to take part. People from Alberta, from a bunch of different post-secondaries were listening, as well as people from across Canada, and even one or two people from the States. There is a lot of representatives from also some very big OER groups. So it was a very, very rewarding experience. other than that, there is a General Faculties Council meeting next Monday that I'm going to be having the first ever Student Caucus meeting for GSC Student Caucus this year on Friday to kind of help everybody orient themselves for that.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Draper. And next on our list here, Vice President Lay.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. So the big thing that me and President Agarwal did the week before last over the weekend before this one is we went to the Council of Alberta University Students Changeover Summit, and I was elected chair of the Council of Alberta University Students for this year. So that's going to be a great opportunity for us to hopefully get some excellent provincial advocacy done. So I'm going to be working through the transition process at CAUSE over the next few weeks. It's going to take a significant amount of my time, but obviously making sure that our provincial advocacy group runs efficiently is extremely important for us being able to achieve all of our advocacy priorities. So I think that is an excellent use of my time, and I'm very excited for finding ways to contribute at CAUSE. So we also had two meetings with Minister Nikolaides, just me and Joel with him, and also as a my first meeting with the minister as CAUSE chair, we had that last week. So we had some pretty welcome news. He is showing a lot more flexibility around performance-based funding and institutional management agreements than initially seemed likely. Obviously, there's a lot that we still want to see, but this will give universities a little bit of breathing room. We also did a few media interviews. I was on CBC Radio. There's a link to that if you want to listen in my written report. We're going to be going to the CASA Foundations Conference soon, which is basically the same thing as the CAUSE Changeover Conference, but it's where we elect the leadership for our federal umbrella group, the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations, and decide on federal advocacy priorities for the year. And the last major thing I'm going to bring up in my report is something that's happened more since then, since I submitted it. So you should all have gotten an email from me about the situation at Campus Saint-Jean, where very significant budget cuts to Campus Saint-Jean and the provincial government's ban on them using their reserves will potentially lead them to have to cut 50% of their courses, or 40%, which is nearly half of the French language post-secondary courses in Western Canada. So this would be a very serious problem. I would encourage you all to look at that email and see how you can help, because showing some solidarity with the Francophone community is very important right now if we want their help later on when we need their support. So I encourage you all to look at that email and see how you can help. And that's it for this 2 weeks.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Lay. Vice President Crown, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And hello, everyone. Nice to see you again after our little pre-council get together. That was really sweet. So basically what's been up with me, I've been working on a lot of projects, chipping away at larger things as well as some smaller things, but I'd like to highlight two main things in my report today, which you can reference in the attachment. But basically, so in terms of advocacy projects, the UPASS negotiations are sort of in preparation. They're not yet underway. We're expecting to start negotiations sometime in early June. And then we have until December 31st until we can, to sort of reach a first agreement, agreement in principle, I think it's called. Vice President Kidd and I have been mostly working on that, just coordinating a lot of emails, making sure we're talking to the right people. I'm happy to answer any questions with that, but it is still pretty preliminary. And secondly, I would like to highlight that I have been doing a lot of work on the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee, just creating that. In fact, you can see that the standing orders, a draft of standing orders that that I will be bringing back to Bylaw Committee have been attached in the late editions for your perusal. I would encourage you, if you have any questions for me just throughout the week or anything, to go ahead and reach out with that, because this is a very exciting thing. It's a new kind of committee, and I just will say that it's still pretty draft. And so, we'll dot the I's and cross the T's with Bylaw Committee. Very excited to do that. But would love to hear if anybody has any specific feedback for me just, throughout this week, if you want to take some time to look at that. Growing the balcony garden, trying to grow some kale. That is my life right now. So thanks very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Cron. Vice President Kidd.
All right. Hi, y'all. Hope everyone is doing well and staying healthy. Like I said in my report, I've had a busy 2 weeks and I have pretty busy next 2 weeks coming up. The biggest thing that has taken up time in the past 2 weeks was working with Vice President Kron on the UPass beginning of the negotiations. Not much to report on there because we haven't really started doing the work, but we've just been getting ready and being prepared. Hopefully they will go smoothly. Beyond that, I had my first meeting at the Campus Food Bank board, which was really interesting. I think they've done a great job adapting to COVID and all the challenges it's thrown students their way. And yeah, I also had, oh, there we go. I had my first meeting of ASC as their rep, SC rep. It's my second year in this role, and I think it's going really well. I'm excited to work with this incoming group of execs and help support them in whatever way they need. Beyond that, I recommended a new book for you all, which I'm going to do in every council report because my personal life is pretty boring. So you might as well hear about the books I'm reading. So, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Kidd. President Agarwal, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the past 2 weeks have been pretty full with a lot of really important meetings and getting into the swing of things. We're trying to deal with COVID, a lot of the aftermath and response to COVID from the SU side of things, trying to figure out what our response is going to be for our students and in our community. General Faculty's Council at the Academic Planning Committee, there were discussions on, you know, the budget implications again, revenues and expenditures. So, you know, it's challenging times, and we're trying to work very closely with the university to ensure that, you know, essential services and mental health services and things like that are still there for students. Been working closely with some university admin on a student wellness course. This is something I talked about in my platform, something that is sort of a good window of opportunity. You know, everyone's working from home, and there's a lot of challenges on campus for students. So this is an idea that would potentially be relevant for the fall semester. In terms of some external advocacy, I'm pleased to announce that VP Lay was elected as the chair of the Council of Alberta University Students. So for those of you who don't know, the Council of Alberta University Students, or CAUS, is the provincial advocacy group where five universities are part of. So a lot of our advocacy stems from that advocacy group to the provincial government, whether it's, you know, campus sexual violence, performance-based funding, etc. So I'm very excited that VP Lay will be the chair of CAUS this year. Today, VP Draper and myself were on an OER panel where we were part of students from across Alberta, discussing the importance of open education, especially in a context where, you know, COVID is moving things online, where there's a lot of cost barriers that students have. So I'm excited to be pushing on that and working with VP Draper over the next year.
All right. Thank you, President Agarwal. I hate to cut you off there, but we do have 2 minutes on these ones. But okay, so we're going to be moving into board and committee business here. And if we could get somebody to provide a verbal report on behalf of the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee. Councillor Dillon, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm using headphones, so can you all hear me? Okay, awesome. Basically, we've had our initial meeting and I was voted in as chair. I've also made initial contact with ASC, and I'm looking forward to meeting with them soon. And from there, we'll be talking about like their nominating process and then moving towards a schedule for our meetings. And I'm super excited to be working with both them and also Talia, Councillor Dixon, and Councillor Anderson. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Dillon. And Audit Committee? Actually, for this, go ahead again there, Councillor Dillon. But for this, we'll put it this way. When I call on the committee, typically it's the chair that provides the report. So if the chair wants to provide the report, I'm just going to have them just hop on the mic so we can like avoid this delay of needing the speakers list.
Oh, can I still go?
Oh, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm not the chair. Adarsh was voted in as chair, but I'm not sure if he's here at the moment. So he's currently working on creating a biweekly schedule for us. And yeah, that's about it for us for now.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Dillon. And for bylaw committee?
Yeah, hello. Can everyone, can everyone hear me? Okay, perfect. Yeah, I had the honor to be elected as chair of the bylaw committee, and we approved standing orders, and that meeting mostly focused on just passing the draft for the first standing orders for sustainability committee, which Vice President Cron and Councillor Dixon put a lot of effort into. And I've also been in communication with Vice President Draper, just to have, transition. And I've also been in communication with Navneet, just to find a way to do another doodle poll to schedule bi-weekly or weekly meetings. Yeah, that's just about everything. Thank you, President Agarwal.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Fu Cheng. And somebody from the Council Administration Committee?
Mr. Speaker, we had a meeting, the first meeting I was elected as the chair. And during our meeting today, we discussed about councillors' jackets. And we have something called the Structural Composition Task Force, and I'll be working with President Agarwal on that, and we'll then pass it, we'll try to pass it in CAC and then the Students' Council, and that was pretty much about it for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bid. And a representative of the Executive Committee?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the exec committee has met three times since we last met with council. We've been talking a lot about COVID impacts. Again, you know, how are we going to approach that? A lot about marketing, what the role of the SU is going to be, working with our marketing team, and rolling out a mental wellness online presence for students who are not able to be on campus. We have talked about sustainability capital fund. VP Cron has been working very tirelessly on that, and she's going to be bringing that forward in the next next little while. Finally been making some strides on, again, the COVID marketing, as well as building, you know, the campus community, figuring out what is actually going to happen with Week of Welcome and orientation, given that that's something that the SU takes a huge role in, and working to transition that into an online and an effective online orientation for incoming first-year students in the fall.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. And if we can get a representative of the Finance Committee.
Hello. So Finance Committee, we met last week. And so far what we've been up to is creating a schedule so that we can be meeting bi-weekly. We have some exciting agenda items coming up because, you know, finance is so fun. But something that we have also done is we've done some sorting into some committees that finance committee members sit on, such as the Campus Recreation Enhancement Fund, Golden Bears Pandas Legacy Fund, and things like that. So yeah, it's been great that counselors on this committee have been stepping up to fill those seats. We're looking really good for this, for our next meeting. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you, VP Cron. And someone from the nominating committee?
Hello. Just quick update from nominating committee. I was elected chair at the last meeting. And then we have our next meeting scheduled tomorrow. There we will be talking about the application process for the Senate, talking about process of filling student large positions for student group committee as well as ARC, and then going through the standing orders. So it should be good for nominating committee this year, and we are meeting tomorrow. Have a good one.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Draper. And policy committee?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So since our last student council meeting, we've had our initial meeting where we voted myself in as chair. Since then, I've been working on building a bi-weekly schedule for policy committee to put forth to everyone. I'm still working on that, and that'll be done before next council or before next meeting. And we went over the standing orders. However, we haven't approved them yet because everyone didn't get a chance to read them. So that will be done in our next meeting as well. That's all.
Excellent. Thank you, Councilor Montero. And at this time, or actually, sorry, can we get the undergraduate Board of Governors rep report as well?
Yeah. Do you have my 2 minutes now?
Yes, your 2 minutes start now.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, so lots of different things. Had our first board meeting, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, which is very interesting for myself, Joel, and Mark Waddington, the GSA president, to take part in. I think it was very interesting to get some insights or some key public points that I've put in my report. You can read if you'd like. I think it was really beneficial to have the opportunity to meet and be casual with these people and chat with them and about serious things, but then also share a laugh. I think it really humanizes our interaction as students with them as board members. So that was very healthy, I think. I think it would be good for more students to have that opportunity. Some current projects I'm working on, FA communication between myself and faculty associations. I'm in conversation with Dave Draper about that. Social media resolves some misunderstandings around my relationship with UASU marketing and kind of my role. And so now I'm going to move more into the Board Reputation and Public Affairs Committee to look at marketing in terms of, you know, what do I put out and how do I best serve students over different social media services. The AFCA campaign that our VP Lay shared with you, I'll be attending tomorrow's evening meeting that's in English, just to see how I can give input and advocate to the board. And then, yeah, GFC's yet to soon to happen, and also my two committee meetings, my Board Reputation and Affairs Committee, and then Board Governance Committee as well. Those are both happening. I'm very excited to look at what that looks like in the coming week and how I can shape my plans around what they're doing and with what they're doing. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Board Rep Conrad. And at this time, if any other counselor would like to make a report, they can indicate, or sorry, Student Groups Committee.
Okay, hi. Student Group Committee met. I was elected chair. And beyond that, we have gotten people to fill the seats for Student Group Services and the Dean of Students Office. And now we're just waiting for the members at large, and then we'll be meeting. So pretty chill for now.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Kidd. And if any other members would like to submit a report, they can indicate so in the chat. And then I'll give that about 10 seconds waiting before we move into open forum. Okay, so seeing nothing in the speaking list, we're going to go to open forum. So just as a point of information, open forum is a chance for all registered guests of council to have the right to make a comment or ask questions to members of council. I'm just taking a look here at the participants list. I'm not entirely sure if we actually have a guest of council today. Okay, seeing no guests of council, and nothing on the speakers list, we're good to move into question period. And in question period, another, like, I guess, point of information, it's basically the same as open forum. It's just like counselors can make a 2-minute statement or ask questions to other counselors. And each counselor gets a combination of 3 speaking turns between statements and questions. Councillor Bowes?
Yes. So this question is for Vice President Operations and Finance. So I was wondering when, how can a faculty association access the Sustainability and Capital Fund, as it was promised during the elections that they would be for any sustainable project? And when is the earliest when they can access this? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bowes. Vice President Crown, you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, thank you so much for the question, Councillor Bowes. So as I've indicated, the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee, which is the committee that adjudicates all projects, is still in the formation stage. So we hope to be having that certainly before summer is midway through. So that should be, so keep your eyes open for that. Something that I will say is that there are generally two kinds of projects. One of which is the Student Green Fund, as outlined in the question that you can find that students voted on in the referendum. Basically, that sort of a thing will be opening up, applications for that, will be opening up once the committee is formed and has come up with a bit of an adjudication process for that and has sort of formalized what that's going to look like. So, I would invite you to, if you have a green fund project that would qualify for that, you can apply for that once that all sort of comes together. So, and I will be keeping council posted on that, absolutely. So thanks.
Cool, thanks.
Thank you, Vice President Cron. Councillor Buchanan.
Oh, this is a question for Mr. Speaker. I was going to make this comment on your initial presentation, but this week I've become aware that there is some voting capabilities within Zoom at like a higher pay threshold. I don't know any of the details, but it can provide more sooner responses. I don't know all the details, but it may be something you can look further into if you haven't already.
Excellent. Well, thank you for making note of that. And as a recommendation for things pertaining to council, I am going to be making like a note to the council administration committee. And with little things like that, I would probably also recommend to bring those up to the chair of CAC, just so we can sort of narrow down and decide on the best voting mechanisms moving forward. Thank you. So Councillor Baticki.
My question is for Vice President Lay. In your report, you mentioned that the government is planning on hiring a consulting firm to redesign the post-secondary system. I realize this is probably early, but I was wondering if you have any more information about that, because that seems pretty drastic. Thank you.
Vice President Lay, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the question and thank you, Mr. Speaker. So essentially what the government wants to do is create a what they call a strategic direction for the post-secondary system. Right now they say that the post-secondary system does not have a long-term direction and is largely motivated in terms of decision-making by just the way things have been in the past. So they want to hire a consulting firm to basically figure out what the interaction between the different institutions in Alberta should be. So for example, how do you transfer from a college to a university? Do we have a flagship university? Maybe do we change the governance model of the university system overall? Like some American states have the University of California with many campuses, or UBC has an Okanagan campus. So their whole job is to figure out what the system should look like by 2030. We have had a chance to see the request for proposal for the consultant, which was public. So I assume that we could pass it on to you if that's something you're interested in seeing. But right now, there is not too much we know specifically. What the minister has said is that he's going to ensure that students are included in the consultation process for the development of their report, and that is going to be part of how they select the consultant that's successful, their planned consultation approach. But we don't know who the consultant is going to be yet, and we don't know exactly what direction they're going to take this in.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Lay. And I don't see anything else in the speakers list. So if any other members of council would like to pose a question to another member of council, please indicate so. Awesome. All right, Councillor Filipovich, you've got the floor.
Hey everyone. So I just have a question for Vice President Draper. The Faculty of Nursing just informed their students that they are canceling the Bachelor of Science in Nursing program that was at the Augustana campus. So all the students are understandably like really confused and upset. They don't know what to expect for next year. The faculty hasn't reached out
they had a town hall to like answer questions, and it was since canceled, and now they're kind of just like ghosted everyone and no one has any idea what's going on. So I was just wondering if the SU could like intervene in any way, and if you knew about this, and if you had a plan for it.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councillor Filipovic, for the question. I had not heard about them canceling the town hall or anything along those lines, but now that's been brought to my attention, I can definitely get in contact with the faculty and with the Nursing Undergraduate Association and really push in there and figure out what's what needs to happen and how to help, because that's stuff like that should not be getting canceled, and there should be a strong venues for student voices. And I can also reach out to Vice Provost Programs and ask what's going on for some more information and some more clarification I can pass along.
Awesome, thank you.
And Councillor Buchanan, you've got the floor.
Thank you. I have a question for, I believe, Councillor Badesh. I don't know, is he present? Someone was saying he wasn't present earlier.
Councillor Badesh is not present today.
My apologies. Okay, then I will ask Mr. Conrad, just a clarification. I saw in the WhatsApp chat, there was a mention of where's the gateway been during the council meetings. And I was going to relay that to Mr. Badesha, where they can follow up. Do they regularly have someone that comes to councilor meeting? Have they not been present? What's the backstory to that?
Yeah. So in my experience over the last term, there was generally 1 to 3 gateway members at meetings. They were right part of the guest group. They would ask questions in open forum, often of executives, and then they'd give updates through their digital media and so on. Maybe if you want to ask someone on the executive about that, because I'm not aware either. That's why I asked the question. But normally there is that they are present.
Excellent. Councillor Ackerman.
Sorry about that. Thank you. My question is for Vice President Draper. Has there been any consideration about approaching faculties to add an extra year onto the 7 years that you have required to finish your degree, given that classes will kind of be online again for the fall semester, and perhaps some students don't want to learn in that environment, so would rather like take a year off without being, I guess, obviously a degree takes 4 to 5 years, so they already have a 2-year buffer, but I'm just wondering if there's been any like consideration about approaching faculties about that.
Vice President Draper, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councillor Ackerman, for the question. We have been in a lot of talk and about maintaining academic quality and pushing the university to have as best courses come the fall as possible. However, I do understand that some students aren't able to take part as wholesomely and as fully as they can in person, which is very fair to them. And if students do want to take a year off due to the COVID pandemic, that is something that we should definitely look at. So I can reach out to the registrar's office and to faculties themselves to see if there's any way to extend that buffer for another year for students who might need to take that extra year.
And thank you, Vice President Draper. So that again exhausts our speakers list, but if there are any other members of council who'd like to ask a question, we do have about 5 minutes left in question period before we'd have to extend. Board Representative Conrad.
Hi, this is to VP Draper. I'm wondering about, like, as we've kind of seen this tuition concern around delivering stuff online and all of these different things and students' concerns and different kinds of responses throughout Canada and in the States. What stance maybe are you or would you recommend the SU take when students come to them about how we are considering tuition in light of COVID? Like, are we okay with it just kind of staying the same because professors need to be paid and all these things, or is it reasonable to feel that we should be paying less because the quality of education is potentially less? Like, can you give maybe your opinion?
Vice President Draper, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Governor Conrad, for the question. So when it comes to tuition pricing, I believe as the SU, through political policy, we do have policy stating that we do always advocate for lower tuition, which I think could be a quick, easy way to answer that, but I'm guessing that's not the fulsome answer you're hoping for. But in a more in-depth way, the way I see it is that students pay for a certain quality of education and a certain level of education. And that's what needs to be maintained. If that is not led to, things can be looked at, but I think we have to make sure that students are getting the quality of education that they expect. Just because something is online does not necessarily mean that's inherently less of a good service. It can be fantastic, equal to or greater than online courses if planned correctly. However, we have to make sure that it's done correctly. Now, we are looking at other ways, stuff such as reducing MNEF fees. We've been able to suspend the PAW fee for spring, summer. So looking at MNEF fees and how they're assessed for off-campus prices is something that the SU has been advocating for up to now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vice President Draper. Councillor Dixon, go ahead.
Hi, can you guys hear me? I'm using my headphones. Sometimes they're weird. Okay, cool. This is kind of a general comment towards anybody on the exec who can kind of answer this. I was going to put it in the What's Group chat because it's a very informal question and not like a fully fleshed out idea. But kind of piggybacking off of what David Conrad just said, I've been getting a lot of questions just like on my own personal kind of like from my Facebook, from like students I don't know and students that I do know about kind of what the SU is doing advocacy wise, what resources people can access, etc. And like, I'm trying to kind of help out wherever I can, but I honestly feel like sometimes I just don't know enough to answer people's questions, but they're coming to me because they know I'm on council and all that kind of stuff. So I was wondering if, and this is like a half-baked weird idea, if it would be kind of interesting if we could do something where like all counselors were able to post to their social media with like comprehensive information, like if that could be set up. Because I feel like even if we have like USAU Cares or even if emails go out, a lot of people don't pay attention to their emails. They pay attention to their friends' social media accounts. I don't know if that's making any sense, but that was something that I was thinking about because I've been getting a lot of these questions and haven't exactly known how to answer them in the best way possible. And I feel like people are just lacking access to resources. And so if we as counselors could have the ability to have like a centralized document or resources that we could share to our own social media, I think that'd be really helpful. I don't know who would answer that or if you need to. That's just my thoughts. I don't know. Thanks.
Awesome. So thank you, Councillor Dixon. And before we go ahead, could I just get like a minimum of 5 thumbs up reactions from all of you so we can extend for 15 minutes? Excellent. Thank you. So we are not going to run out of time now. Just on a quick note, Councillor Dixon, I'll take that as more of a statement that they can respond to just because it went over the time, but that's okay. And then it also doesn't have to be posed to one specific member. But then I'll also allow for a member of the executive committee to respond if they so please. So if you'd like to just hop on the mic.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Councillor Dixon. You raised some really valid points. I think, you know, in the next couple months, I think it's going to be really important that council is very engaged in the advocacy that's coming forward, whether it's, you know, like COVID-related, whether it's budget-related. We're going to have more of a fulsome discussion around this later on, so we'll keep you posted for sure. But I do want to say that for now, what I think what people can do, and we can definitely continue this conversation, is everyone, we have the UASU executive page on Facebook. We also have the this University of Alberta Students Union page, and we try to post content quite regularly on the exec page, whether it's CSJ advocacy, the forum, the Google, the sign up stuff that's on there. So for now, that's something that people can engage with. But I'm happy to take some feedback or suggestions as things that you think are important. But we'll definitely be talking about that.
Excellent, thank you, President Agarwal. Councillor Futang, you had a question.
Yes, thank you. This question was for Vice President Draper. So in your report, you mentioned that if students aren't able to take part in in-person labs or clinicals, the university has said they'll make arrangements surrounding your lab components. I'm just wondering if you have any information on what criteria it is that students have to not be able to take part in in-person labs, because a student could be immunocompromised and, that could not allow them. But at the same time, a student could live with, elderly parents or grandparents who are also not able, so that poses a risk once they go outside into the university and come back. So just wondering if you have any update or information on the criteria. Thank you.
Vice President Draper.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councillor Fochang, for the question. That is a really great question, and that's one that we've been asking as well. We've been really pushing various faculties for more information on this, because this is information that we need to know to pass out to students so that they can fully understand what they're getting themselves into come the next semester. So we've been really pushing faculty and administration on more details on how to qualify that and what those accommodations can look like going forward. So when I get more information about this, I will pass that on. But right now, we do not have them. I have that, but we're pushing for it.
Thank you, Vice President Draper. Councillor Corday.
Hi, this is directed to Vice President Rowan Lee. I wanted to ask a question regarding the campus on June, as in what could the executives or the counselors do as in to help the situation that's in campus on June, and what's the current situation like, and what are suggestions that are given by you to help this further? Yeah.
Vice President Lai.
Thanks very much for the question. So the first thing that you can do is I sent an email out, I believe on Friday, which outlines some of your options. So the Francophone, the Alberta Francophone Canadian Association has done some great organizing here and provided some web tools that allow you to engage in a bit of online organizing. So the first thing that you can do is you can attend one of the online community meetings that's happening throughout the week. There's a link to that in the email that I sent all of you. By attending those meetings, you'll be able to get in touch with more people who are involved in the fight for CSJ funding, and you'll be able to learn a little more there as well. You can also write a letter to the Minister and the Premier using the online tool, again, that they provide on their website, so you can follow the link. And you can just share their content on social media as well. They provide a bunch of banners and stories ready-made. So that's what you can do right now. There are going to be more things that you can do in future, because I'm trying to set up a meeting with myself, Joel, and the president of the Alberta Franco-Canadian Association, so we can coordinate our organizing efforts and give you more options for how you can participate and how the SU can lead. But for now, they've done a great job, and we should just support them and help them however they ask.
Thank you, Vice President Lai. Councillor Yabut, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. My question is for Vice President Draper. I'm sorry, you're getting so many questions. You're like in a pageant right now answering all these questions. So I was just wondering if there has been communication between you or any of the execs and the drama department. The drama department has been sending out constant emails regarding the state in which the department will be operating for the fall semester. As we all know, drama is a highly interactive department. And so a lot of the classes happens in person. And from what I've gathered from my fellow drama students, there's been a lot of concern, because we haven't been properly informed as to what's been happening. We've just been getting emails saying it may not be remote. It may be remote, so it's like very unclear. And there also hasn't been much opportunity regarding like an inquiry of questions. Like students aren't able to voice their opinions, and there hasn't been any chance for that. Sorry, I'm the worst speaker, but that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Councillor Yabut. Vice President Draper, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councillor Yabut. So I have not been in personal contact with the Drama Association. However, I have reached out to OASIS earlier on to introduce myself as DPA and build relationships there, so I can reach out to them again specifically on this issue and see what I can do to help. But I believe it would be great to check in with OASIS. I believe that their president, Chris Beasley, might have some more information as they're often more in tone with the individual workings of a faculty. However, I can definitely reach out there and see what I can do to help. And nobody should worry about asking questions. I'm loving this. It's a great time for me. So if anybody has any questions, go for it.
All right, Councillor Oliveira, go ahead.
Hi, my question is for Vice President Kidd. And so when the whole COVID situation started, students from residence were told to like leave res, and they were told that for the month they wouldn't be living in res. When they came back to residence next year, they would like that those months would be taken off their payments for next year. However, a lot of those students won't be coming back to res, and I was asked by a couple people what happens then, and I wasn't sure, so I was wondering if you have some more information if residents will be giving back money to those students for the months they didn't end up leaving in residence. I don't know if that makes sense.
Vice President Kidd, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question. Yeah, so that did make sense. You got it, don't worry. That is something that they're still working out, to be honest. But it was sort of a immediate kind of decision based on the situation that was unfolding when this pandemic started. But I can follow up at next council with some more specific details if just to get more clarity on that for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Kidd. And Councillor Bose?
Yes, sir. Okay, so this question is for Vice President Kidd. I'm asking this question with a heavy heart because I think I know the answer, but just to clarify, is Campus Cup happening this year at all or not? Like, do you have any confirmation will it be moved to winter term or is it just gonna be canceled due to the current situation? Thanks.
Vice President Kidd?
Thank you for the question. I can't lie, you made me panic when you said it was a heavy heart. I thought it was going to be like a very direct question to me. That's something we're looking at, to be honest. We're right now pretty much focused on week of welcome. It's hard to predict what campus will be like in November. But as someone who loves Campus Cup, I will do my absolute best to save it.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Kidd. Councillor Buchanan, you have the floor. And just as a note, this is your last speaking turn.
Thank you, Speaker. This is a question for Mr. Draper, but Rowan may have an answer as well. I'm just wondering if you've heard anything or if you could keep on advocating for reopening at least partial of the libraries and especially to like the interlibrary loan.
All right. Vice President Draper, go ahead. Or Vice President Lay.
Councilor Buchanan kind of cut off about a few words into his question on my end, but from what I could garner, it was about whether or not the libraries would be opening. Right now, I don't have too much specifics, but I have been working with the libraries, and hopefully a lot of the work will still be able to happen. A lot of the online catalogs will remain online, but whether or not they'll reopen is very much surrounding health and safety, and that's really the priority for the university right now, as well as for the student union, is making sure that health and safety needs are met. And until I can keep pushing for more information, but if they do open, I think it will be probably different than what we're used to, maybe with the desk at the front where the librarians are the ones who actually go and access the books type thing. But I can get more information later. It's still surrounding health and safety, depending on if they open up though.
Sun, thank you, Vice President Draper. And just as a quick note for recording purposes, when you go to pose a question towards another member of council, for a member of the exec, it's like VP and then their last name. And for a member of council, it's counselor and then their last name. It just helps when we're taking down the minutes on that part. But Councillor Bid, you had a question there as well.
I actually wanted to reply to Councillor Oliveira's question. So as of end of April, as far as I know, Lister residents, I don't know if that's the same for the other residences, they were refunding money to the students for students who would move out in between a month. For example, mid-May or something, they would prorate the money and refund the rest of it. I don't know if your question was pertaining to a specific residence, but for Lister residents, I know that they were going to refund the money instead of trying to do some match with the months they will stay in the future. Yeah.
Excellent. So I will take that as a statement there as well, but thank you for that. And that does exhaust our speakers list. We do have 3 minutes left before we have to extend again. So if any other members of council have a question or a statement, please indicate so in the chat. All right, so seeing none, we are going to move into board and committee business. So to start off our board and committee business, we have Councillor Dixon moves to approve the Sustainability Committee standing orders. And before we go into that, I do need a secondary on that motion. So if somebody could indicate so in the chat, that would be great. Awesome. Thank you, Councillor Yabut. Councillor Dixon, I'll give you 1 minute to introduce the motion here.
Yeah, okay. Hello, everybody. So hopefully I did it correct this time. Essentially, it's kind of like what I spoke about at last council's meeting. This committee's entire objective is to kind of evaluate the practices of the SU and provide kind of substantive as well as achievable kind of recommendations for change to improve our practices surrounding sustainability environmentally, economically, and socially. We already started making recommendations last year, and we're going to be continuing that work, and it'll come together kind of in a fulsome report. So I hope that you vote in favor of this. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask me. I'm sure that other people will also be able to help out with answering. And that's about it. Thanks.
Excellent. So we will go into debate on the motion. So if there are any councillors that would like to speak to this, please indicate so in the chat. Councillor Ackerman, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I just have one question about 2.1A with the mandate. All the points look good to me. I just wonder about, like, when you say advocacy, do you mean like to kind of dictate the student unions advocacy, like in its general advocacy, because, or do you just mean like the committee will advocate to council? Just because if it's the former, it seems like that is kind of the domain of policy committee. So I've just some like clarification, I guess. Like, I understand that you don't want to make standing orders too restrictive because you want to leave yourself flexibility to operate, but
Jared, can I answer very quickly? So Rowan and I spoke about this very quickly. Actually, I see he's on the speaking list, and he'll say what he has to say, and then I think that'll address your question. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, go ahead, Vice President Lai.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mr. Speaker. Sure. So yeah, me and Talia had an opportunity to talk, I believe, last Thursday, and just talk about some ways that we can make the committee generally more efficient and align well with the SU's other strategic goals. So one of the things that we both agreed on, which will be put into the committee's standing orders as soon as the committee is formed, is that any external advocacy points in the report would have to be passed by policy committee in order to be included in the report. So that was the consensus between myself and Councillor Dixon. And as soon as the committee is formed, that can be added to the standing orders. However, if it is easier for you, Councillor Ackerman, or if it would make you, if it would give you some peace of mind, we could also move a friendly amendment from the floor at this meeting to include that under the mandate section of the document that we have here. So this point has been considered, and I'm pretty confident that everyone is on the same page while making sure that policy committee's mandate is respected. So just feel free to ask me if you have any other questions about how we would make this happen operationally.
You know, that makes sense, and I trust that it doesn't have to be made as a friendly amendment now. I trust that it'll be made in the future once the committee's formed as well. Thank you.
Excellent. Awesome. Just as again on a point that Councillor Ackerman brought up, it is fully true that at any point a committee can change their standing orders. It just requires a majority vote from the committee, and then they report it as an information item to council. And then Mark, go ahead. Or I guess General Manager Dumichel.
Sorry, I had to figure out how to unmute. Well, I know the format doesn't really allow for questions in that, but I'm just going to say the wording on the mandate, number one, I think is really broad. Perform annual evaluations of the SU sustainability practices in the following areas: government, operations, services, advocacy, and events. That's a tremendous amount of work to do each and every single year. I don't know what the intent is. If the intent is like we need to do evaluations every year and that kind of thing, that's fantastic. I think doing a top to bottom evaluation at five areas every year is a tremendous amount of work for the committee. And I think the committee will have a really hard time doing that every single year. That's just my feedback. That also may not have been the intent, however, so.
All right. And next up on our speaking list, Board Rep Conrad.
Hi. But thanks so much for your criticism, Mark, and it's really valuable. I helped draft this, so absolutely some wording there and what was intended versus not. I would agree it wasn't necessarily designed to say all of it, but also you have experience with scopes of work, which I'm thankful for. Just someone tell me if this is the wrong way to do this, but could I make a friendly amendment from the floor add where it says in the following areas, such as, or sustainability practices in the following areas, comma, such as, colon. If we could change that makes it broader. It allows us to apply to any one of those spaces, but does not bind us to reviewing every single one of them annually.
Excellent. Thank you, Board Rep Conrad. So that exhausts our speakers list right now, but I'll give it another about 10 seconds to see if anybody else would like to speak, and then we'll call to a vote. Oh, okay. Councillor Ackerman, go ahead. I think you're muted there, Councillor
Ackerman. My apologies. Sorry, do I have to speak to his friendly amendment, or can I bring up a different point pertaining to this document?
On the note of the friendly amendment part, I guess Vice President Lay or Councillor Dixon have the opportunity to take it as friendly. You can speak to it if you'd like. They can also change the standing order after the fact and report it to Council. And then you have full, I guess, jurisdiction to say whatever else you want for the next 2 minutes too.
Okay, I guess, because it's not, again, it's still in mandate, but it's not particular to 2A. Perhaps the committee would want to add to its mandate also to follow up on previous year recommendations, because it kind of alludes to it, but it doesn't specifically say that. And I think that is a somewhat valuable thing for the committee to be doing, because if you just make all these recommendations every year, but you're not really following up on their implementation, and what's the point?
I think the way that I had thought about this was that we would do this first list of recommendations, and then kind of from there, that would be, because when we first formed this committee, it was very much like in response to some things that came about. And I kind of thought we would do our first list of recommendations and then after that point kind of determine what the best course forward is, because in a year and a half, I don't know what that's necessarily going to look like or what the best path forward would be, because to do an evaluation, as Mark said, like this every single year is a bit of work. but I do agree with you that the recommendations should be kind of, you know, looked at repeatedly and make sure that they're being implemented. So I'm not entirely sure about how to go about that in the best way possible. But so you can propose a friendly amendment now, or we could talk about that more as a committee. I don't know if that kind of answers your question, because I just, my big thing is that I'm always so worried about making it too prescriptive and too narrow, because I think that sustainability is constantly changing and our response needs to be very flexible. And so that's kind of, I hear what you're saying. It's a good point. But I'm just not sure what it's going to look like after the fact of the recommendations or the best way to move forward with that. So, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't per se have a friendly amendment to offer right now, but yeah, but thank you for addressing my comment.
Excellent. So again, seeing the exhaustions of the speakers list, with that, I'll give it like another couple of seconds for someone to toss their name onto if they want. But with that, I think we'll be good to, or President Agarwal, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to say that I think generally, apart from the comments that were made already around, you know, the scope of the committee, I think, you know, if we vote on it and take this to the committee, I think this is a more worthwhile conversation to have there. But generally, I am in favor of it. And I think those, you know, in terms of the mandate, I think those things can be fully fleshed out.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. So I'm going to, or Councillor Bowes, go ahead there, and then I'm going to drop the link into the chat to access the vote for when you all need to vote.
Yeah, so basically I'm confused about one thing. Will this committee be recommending things to the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee, or will it be recommending things to Council and then Council will direct it to Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee? Like, how is it going to work? So I'm just confused on that part.
I don't, Alana, if you both, I don't know if you'll probably have a more comprehensive thing, but I think the first thing is that we'll be making a list of recommendations to write to Council. But also when I met with Rowan last Thursday, I also spoke with Mark. And so I think that it'll be kind of like a dual thing, though that kind of needs to be more fleshed out as a committee where we will be working with the new Sustainability and Capital Fund.
All right. Okay, so just like on a quick note, when you're looking to like answer questions or jump in, please do indicate your name into the speakers list. Just for the point now that Councillor Dixon, you have unfortunately exhausted your speaking turns. Might have had one extra, but we'll let it slide. But Vice President Kron, go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, so just to clarify on the point about the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee and how it relates to the Sustainability Committee, I understand there are a lot of similar words in there. But basically, so as you can see in the draft standing orders, the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee has a designated seat for a Sustainability Committee member. This is in the spirit of hoping that the two committees will be able to, of course, work in conjunction, seeing as generally their goal of achieving sustainability within the Students' Union is similar and shared. However, the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee is primarily responsible for the adjudication of projects, the distribution of the Sustainability and Capital Fund and things like that, whereas the Sustainability Committee has, as you can see, its own independent mandate. So the committees are distinct and separate and have separate roles within the Students' Union, different purposes, and probably different tangible goals. So yes, there is a distinction there. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Kron. Vice President Lay, go ahead.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Speaker. So just on the point that we've been discussing here about how SCF would interact. So proposals for SCF can be created and brought forward to approval. And what we talked about with Talia was essentially having a prioritization of recommendations. So we do plan on getting in, getting some more expert opinions in on how we can make our building more sustainable, for example. And the problem is when you have a report that gives you a set of priorities, you can't do them all at once. So it's important that they be prioritized out over time. So that was something that we thought there would be a role for the committee in doing. And then using those identified priorities, then the Students' Union could have proposals come forward to access SCF money matching those proposals. However, it's just important to note that the Sustainability Committee's report is not like, it doesn't authorize the spending of money. It just identifies areas of priority, which we can then use to create proposals for how to use SCF money. But to be clear, there's a separate governance process for SCF. The report just gives recommendations that we can then bring forward and use SCF money for, given the approval of the proper governance processes, of course.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Lay. So that, again, exhausts our speakers list. So with that, I will put the link to the vote into the chat here momentarily, and then you can all go ahead and vote on that motion. And the link is in the chat now for you all, so it should be working. Okay, so that motion passes with 24 in favor, 2 opposed, and 1 abstention. And for the member of council with the abstention, if you would like your abstention noted, could you please either message me about it or put it into the chat, sort of your prerogative there. But if you don't want it noted, just ignore it. But okay, so moving into the Sustainability Committee appointments, Councillor Dixon moves to appoint
3 members of council
and 1 member of the executive to the Sustainability Committee. And before we go ahead and introduce this, could I just get a secondary for the motion in the chat? Excellent. Thank you, Board Rep Conrad. And with that, Councillor Dixon, I will allow you for a minute to introduce.
All right. So pretty simple again. Just looking to nominate some lovely members to this committee. You don't need to have a wide breadth of knowledge. Even if you're just interested in sustainability, please put your hat in the ring. But if you're passionate about sustainability, as I'm sure many of us are, that's definitely very valuable. If you have any experience with working on sustainability-based projects, that's also awesome, but that's not like a barrier of entry or anything. So yeah, I guess we're just looking for 3 members of council and then 1 member of the executive. That's about it. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Dixon. So with that, for nomination processes, I just want to remind everybody that if you'd like to nominate a member of council, put yourselves on the speakers list and then you can call on them and they'll have their chance to, respond. And then you can also nominate yourself to a council position as well if you're very eager to get on that. So, go ahead and fill up the speakers list here. Board Rep Conrad, go ahead.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Dixon.
Councillor Dixon?
Yeah, I accept.
Excellent. And before we do the next one here on the speakers list, if you nominate somebody, the person nominated can just hop on and respond to it. I just won't need to call on them. That's okay. Vice President Lay, go ahead.
I'd like to nominate VP Draper.
I will accept. Thank you so much for the nomination.
Councillor Dillon, go ahead.
I'd like to nominate VP Kidd.
I respectfully decline. Thank you, though.
Right, so I'm not seeing anything coming up in the speakers list, but we do need to get three counselors and a member of the executive onto this committee. Oh, Vice President Draper?
Yes, I would like to nominate Councillor Fotang.
I respectfully decline.
Councillor Dixon?
Like to nominate Councillor Boot? I never know how to say your last name.
I'll accept.
Excellent. Vice President Kidd.
Never mind.
President Agarwal.
I'll nominate Councillor Cordy.
I respectfully decline.
Councillor Dillon?
I'd like to nominate Councillor DeGrano.
I'm going to have to respectfully decline, sorry.
Board Rep Conrad, I think we had next.
Yeah. I'd like to nominate Councillor Veloso, or has that already been done?
Sorry, figuring out how to unmute. I'd like to respectfully decline.
Councillor Dixon again?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Bowes.
Sorry, what? Did you say my name?
I did.
Yes, I accept.
All right, President Agarwal.
I'll nominate Councillor Marquis.
I'll respectfully decline, thank you.
Councillor Dillon?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Montero.
I respectfully decline.
Councillor Buchanan?
I'd like to nominate Councillors Badiaki, Ackerman, Harry, Haran, and Bead.
All right. Just as a note, you can only nominate one person at a time.
Okay. We'll start with Badiaki then.
Councillor Batiki?
I probably said that wrong.
Yeah, it's all good. There are already three there. Okay. I will respectfully decline.
Councillor Buchanan?
Ackerman?
I'll accept.
Councillor Buchanan, I'm just going to let you keep nominating. I don't need to call on you every time. It's okay.
Harry Haran and Bead.
I respectfully decline. Thank you, but I respectfully decline too.
Councillor Dillon, go ahead.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Buchanan.
Councillor Buchanan?
I'll accept.
All right, and that does exhaust our speakers list. So we have 5 accepted nominations here from councillors and 1 from the executive. So with that, I will I'll allow for speeches. Vice President Draper, if you'd like to give a speech, you can. You technically just assume the position because there's only one. So I'm going to leave that option open to you. But we'll go and have a minute-long speech for each of the nominations. And we'll start with Councillor Dixon.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm very passionate about sustainability. It's the reason why I ran for council. It's the reason why I ran in the exec election last year. It's kind of the whole basis of my life and a very big guiding value. I do work with Climate Justice Edmonton, volunteered with SustainSU for 2 years, was an intern with the Sustainability Council, and try to do as much as I can with a whole bunch of different groups and as well as in my personal life. And so I'm very passionate about this issue. I have a lot of knowledge to bring to the table, as well as I was chair last year. And so I kind of have a lot of knowledge and development that we worked on last year that I would like to continue into this year. And I definitely think that this committee can be very strong in actually helping to shape a very climate justice and sustainability focused future for the Students' Union that kind of helps all students regardless of who they are, as well as, you know, kind of tackling the biggest issue of our time, which is climate change, because, you know, it is a student issue. And yeah, that's kind of my perspective on it. That's about it. Thanks so much.
You're muted, Jared, but I'm assuming you said VP Draper, so I'm going to give my quick speech. I'm hoping to get on this committee as the member of the executive. I had the opportunity last year to serve as a proxy for a meeting last time, and it was quite an enjoyable experience, and I hope I can bring that to this. I'm also working towards a certificate in sustainability in my academic life, and it's been quite an enjoyable process for me. I'm passionate about sustainability, and I'm passionate about writing reports. That's also something I, oddly enough, really, really enjoy. It's just, it's my vibe. So I'm hoping to get on this committee to really help with that and to provide a bit more of an institutional standpoint for it.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Draper. It appears that my spacebar thing doesn't work to unmute anymore, so I got to fix that. But Councillor Bowes, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the nomination, Councillor Dixon. The reason why I want to be on this committee is, okay, first of all, let me tell you folks something. In my whole entire life, I have just written 2 papers, and both of the topics were on carbon capture. So as someone who is so passionate about saving the earth, and I do want to make a fortune in the future by literally saving the earth, and I do have the knowledge. I'm going into my 4th year of chemical engineering degree. I do know what we can possibly achieve, and I'm not gonna sway myself out just out of emotions. And when I see around me, I can see so many things we can literally do without too much effort, which we haven't done already. This year, I am not even in a single council committee, as you can see, but I do believe that I need to be in sustainability committee because there's a lot of change we can bring in. And yeah, also, this is my 3rd year on council. I do have got a bit of governance experience as well. So I hope you folks vote for me. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Bowes. Councillor Ackerman, go ahead.
I guess I'd like to serve on this committee because as I was kind of alluded to with my previous critique of the standing orders, I just want to make sure that the committee remains University of Alberta and the students at the University of Alberta focused, because I do believe that is the mandate of SU and all things SU related. I am also an engineering student. I'm working towards my designation as a lead fellow, so I'm also versed in sustainability in the buildings side of things. And I think that as far as offering recommendations to SU about how we can increase the sustainability of our operation, experience and knowledge is useful. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Ackerman, and welcome to the Gateway. I think Pia just joined us here. So with that, the next speech goes to Councillor Buchanan.
Well, my experience in the realm of sustainability is my undergraduate down in Walla Walla, Washington. I was a manager of the recycling program for a year, and it was a very interesting process because there was no recycling program before. It had completely disappeared off the face of everything. So I had to build up a system to ensure there was a cooperation between facility services and then transportation from our the management facilities to the recycling depot in town, and then advertising the whole process and making sure people understood how to use it. So it was very interesting and rewarding year. So that's my background specifically in sustainability. I'm from BC as well, so we all love sustainability over there.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Buchanan. And with that, I will post the link to go ahead and vote. So you'll see that in the chat there. And then for like purposes of that, we will be announcing the results of the vote afterwards here. Oh, and for clarity, Pia, the nominees are running for appointment to the UASU Sustainability Committee, which was just had their standing orders approved today. So you can all go ahead and vote right away here with that link, and should be open to like members of council. Excellent. So while that I was just responding to a message there. While we wait for all of the votes to come in, we are approaching the break time because we are at 7:23. So with that, I'll sort of like leave it like up with you. If you'd like to motion to go to break early, we can do attendance and go to our break here. But if we go to start the next motion, we will be breaking after 7:30. So this is our natural, like this is just like the natural time to. But if somebody would like to like second a motion to go into recess, then we can take attendance and adjourn. Awesome. So we will take attendance here again. President Agarwal.
Present.
Vice President Draper.
Present.
Vice President Lay?
Here.
Vice President Caron?
Present.
Vice President Kidd?
Present.
Board Rep Conrad?
Hey.
Councillor Carbajal? Thank you. Councillor Dixon?
Yeah.
Councillor DeGrano?
Here.
Councillor Marquez?
Present.
Councillor Oliveira?
Here.
Councillor Veloso?
Here.
Councillor Yabut?
Here.
Councillor Berhani? Thank you. Councillor Soretsky?
Present.
Councillor Ackerman?
Here.
Councillor Baticki?
Here.
Councillor Bid?
Yeah.
Councillor Bose?
Here.
Councillor Hariharan?
Here.
Councillor Montero?
Present.
Councillor Buchanan?
Present.
Councillor Filipovich?
Present.
Councillor Brandwein?
Present.
Councillor Badesha? Councillor Barazesh?
Present.
Councillor Dillon?
Present.
Councillor Futang?
Present.
Proxy for Councillor Kamani?
Present.
Councillor Corday?
Present.
Myself, I'm here. And General Manager Dumichel? I think Mark may have left already. Awesome.
No, I'm here.
Oh, Mark is still here? Okay, perfect. I will mark you down here as well. Okay, so with that, we will go for break here, and we will be back at 7:41. Awesome. See y'all soon.
Christian, are you in like a Star Wars set right now?
Yeah, I was just going to comment on that. That's so funny.
I love
that. Yeah, Jedi Council. The only council that matters. I'm kidding. No.
After the Students' Council, of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You have the rank of master, though?
No, I have not been granted that, sadly.
And I just wanted to say apologies from the gateway once more. I suppose there was a miscommunication that meant that we didn't have access to the link, so I just really wanted to say sorry about that. In terms of our coverage, I was wondering if it would be possible if I got access just to the standing orders that are available for today.
Do you mean the agenda, Pia?
Yes, please. That would be good.
I can forward that to you right now.
Yeah, so my email is online at gateway.ualberta.ca.
Sounds good. I'll do that right away.
Thank you so much, Joel.
Actually, and also replying to Councillor Fotang, I would love to pay back your loans, but here's the thing. I do have to pay back my parents for paying my international tuition fees. You know, I might not be, you know, fortunate enough to have all those fortune left.
So this has been this has been the worst trade deal in the history of trade deals, maybe ever.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like it's time for the Trade Federation to rebel.
Exactly.
Amon, hey. I think you're the only person I've ever heard say, I can't wait to make money off of solving the climate crisis, but that's also the most you shit I've ever heard said.
What?
That's funny. Like,
I do have a business plan. Ever heard of carbon engineering?
No, not aware of it at all. Not even once.
That company in Calgary, right? The federal government invested in them, like $30 million or something. They're the ones that make synthetic jet fuel, right? Out of CO2.
Not from Calgary. They are situated in British Columbia, like Squamish, British Columbia. So all they do is they capture carbon dioxide from air and then they turn it into like fuel. So what happens is that your net carbon dioxide emission becomes zero. So, you know, and you can also do like get negative emissions out of it. Let's say if you just extract more carbon dioxide from air. So, and you can also reach the Paris Climate Agreement, because the way we are going right now, we can never meet the Paris Climate Agreement of like keeping the increase less than 1.5 degrees Celsius. That's only possible when you go for negative emissions. And it's highly unlikely that we can do that except the use of carbon engineering like carbon capture.
I don't know if you know Lisa Stein, but she does like really cool work with that. And I love her. And she was like my PIs, like their labs are kind of like joined in really cool ways when I did research last year. But it's definitely like a huge part of like doing any kind of transition or, you know, not destroying the planet, because we have a lot to clean up, even if we were to stop emitting as much, right? So yeah, very cool.
Amlan, if you solve climate change, then I hope you become a billionaire. So,
yeah, Rowan, I'm gonna fight you. Stop defending billionaires. He did this all morning on Monday.
I'm trying to get my student loans paid off here, man. Don't spoil that stuff for me. Hustlers gotta hustle, okay?
All right, Amlan, Talia will cap your wealth at $999,999,999, but
That's what I think.
I know what she's talking about. Like, we had
a 99 cents.
Yeah, we had an argument over like Jeff Bezos becoming the first trillionaire. Like, come on, that dude worked hard. Like, it's not his fault. He's not stealing money. Like, socialism.
Yeah, you want to jump in or?
Also, no. Sorry, Joel. I just wanted to say thank you. I did receive the standing orders, and I forwarded them to the news. And Navneet, just let me know if there's any complications with the emails that I've asked for you to send things to. I'm so sorry to interject like serious things in the convo. Also, like, Bezos got a loan of $300,000. That's all I'll say.
I think people can
Some work people hard. Have gotten more and ended up with less.
Yeah.
So.
But I think people can work hard and like still have money. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if I was him, I wouldn't be like happy. Like I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, look at all my money. I can buy a car and a big house. I would feel kind of bad. Wouldn't like if you could see that other people are like having a hard time, wouldn't you just be like, yeah, I should give away most of my wealth because I could like literally stop people from going homeless. Like, I don't know. That just seems like a logical thing to do or like a moral.
No, it's not. It's not. Here's the thing. Your argument is too emotional. There's no logic. Like what you're saying is, oh, okay, I should help people. That's an emotional plea. That's not like, okay, it's not logical. Okay, I'm supposed to do this. No, he's not supposed to do this. If something like that comes from inside of Jeff Bezos, that's fine. But you cannot force someone to do this, right?
Yeah, but I think the comparison should be made too, that it's not about working hard because like, I think someone made this like, reference that a minimum wage worker, if they were to like work in like a normal week with working hours from the time that Christopher Columbus came across the seas, they still wouldn't be as wealthy as Jeff Bezos, which I mean, like that kind of shows that it's not just working hard. It's just capitalism.
In Jeff Bezos's defense, which is something I never thought I'd say in my lifetime, I don't think he like woke up being happy about it. I think people in the media just make clickbait articles about these things, and I guess that's how it spread like wildfire. I don't think it's something he necessarily woke up wanting to advertise that, hey, look at me, I will be the first trillionaire before any of you. Well, yeah. I don't know.
I just feel like if I was any billionaire, maybe this is just me, but I feel like I would feel really weird about it. And I feel like, yes, I think it was Simon who was just talking, but like you're totally right. Like I feel like I get so angry at the like just work hard thing because like my parents are not wealthy at all. My mom works 3 jobs and she's in her mid-50s. Like people like work their asses off and my parents are literally going to lose their business from COVID, right? Like it doesn't matter how hard you work if you never had anybody give you a leg up or if you constantly face setbacks, and people like that could just be taxed properly by their government and then we could have more like supports for like regular humans. Which would honestly be nice. Like he can still be a billionaire. Like he could literally still be a billionaire, fine. But he could just give away like, you know, a couple billion and he could really do some help like to people, which I think would be a good thing. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying like make the man's dirt poor. I'm just saying like, why not redistribute some of his wealth? He literally can't spend it. Like, what was that stat that like it would take him 400 years to spend it at the rate that he's currently spending it at? Like, that's stupid. Like, why would you let him keep all that money? And that's why we have government to like protect us.
Yeah. I just wanted to say also Jeff Bezos is like not a good person. Like his employees are suffering.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I was going to say.
Like he doesn't pay his employers well enough. He has the money to pay his employers and like give them like proper like holidays and like bonuses, but he doesn't do anything. Literally they pee in a jar. Like he's just not a good person. He shouldn't have $1 trillion.
He doesn't.
That's no, when he does. When he does.
He still has a bunch of money though. Like he still has like an ungodly amount of money. Like that's wild. Like I'm like looking at my $147 in my bank account. Mads is just like, I got $147 billion. I'm like, whoa. How
he can do you afford that? To pay people.
Yeah, no, that's the other thing is like I also always think about this. Like he came up with a great way to like distribute goods, right? And like take some money off of that. But I just get so mad because he's so wealthy, but I don't really think he's that creative. Like, for example, you look at somebody like Bill Gates, I'm like, yeah, like super rich, but also like your invention kind of like changed our lives. I guess Amazon did too, but like it feels very different, at least to me. That's also what kind of irks me. I'm just like, oh, Mans isn't even creative.
Did you just say Jeff Bezos is not creative?
Yes. just in a different way. This is also just like a totally value-based argument, that one.
I 100% agree with Talia. Everything I read about him makes me so angry.
I don't know. Again, there's so many billionaires in the world that I don't know why this aim, like, we're all hitting on this guy because I guess he's the world's richest man. Like, there's so many billionaires in the world that we could make that argument rightfully for.
I mean, I think there shouldn't be any billionaires. Or, like I think you should be literally, like Rowan said, because he and I have talked about this a lot, we should be capped at, like, 1 billion because you literally don't need more money. Like, why... Like, that's the thing, is, like, at that point, it's just wealth hoarding. Like, you, and I would honestly feel like such an asshole. Like, how could you, like, if you're somebody like Kylie Jenner, right? Like, everybody's like self-made, youngest self-made millionaire, bullshit. Like, her parents, like, helped her whole life. She was literally on a TV show when she was like 14. Like, that's not self-made. Like, that's dumb. Like, it's the same thing with Jeff Bezos, because he was given a huge loan by his parents and supported while he made Amazon, right? And I don't know, like, he also just, you know, we already talked about this, but he's literally stealing wages from his workers. That's why he's so wealthy, is he just has a bunch of employees that he rips off literally every single day. So I think, again, being like, people should be able to make money to, like, stimulate capitalism. If you love capitalism, whatever, that's your prerogative. Like, sure, but people are still going to work to that point regardless if you cap them at a literal $1 billion or not, because that's like an extreme amount of money. Like, you will never need to, like, work again, honestly, because you could just, with your investments and shit, stay at that $1 million. And you'd be comfortable, more than comfortable. You're a billionaire. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, yeah. Thank you. You should go in the minutes. This is my strong belief.
Just completely ban any and all inheritance. I don't know, in any way, shape, or form. So as soon as you die, money gets sent back to the state, and then the state uses that to fund all social services for people until they reach the legal age of adults, wherein they still have social services, but, like, then they make their own money, and then you're incentivized to spend your money. So instead of just having a billion or 10 billion or 100 billion or $1 trillion in a bank that you pass on to the next person, you actually reinvest that into the economy, right? Because you're incentivized directly to not maintain wealth and just keep it. So you just ban any and all whatever, inherit, which is also the worst of the Aragon novels.
I also like that idea, but I also think it's really interesting that, like honestly, I think it's hilarious that people try to defend billionaires. You are never going to be them. Like, statistically, you're not going to be
hey
them.
No, come on.
But
come
that's
on. Don't count. Don't count
Amlin. Do that.
Don't count Amlin out just like that.
Yeah,
like, I'm rooting for Amlin, man.
I'm gonna be a billionaire. You're literally.
I'm not saying I am. I'm rooting for my man, Counselor Bose. He promised to pay off my student loan.
He can have $1 billion. Will you be happy then?
I mean, if he's paying off my debt, then yeah, I will.
But what I'm saying is, like statistically, like, you're not going to be a billionaire, right? But we've been.
You don't know, like, billionaires don't have that look. Like, do you see that guy who made Facebook? Did you see how that guy looks like?
I'm sorry, man. Like, I don't know how to break it.
You don't know about that. Like, you. Oh my God. Oh wow.
You're not a lizard person. Come on.
Each other on.
I think the biggest thing is, like, it's, like, fair, like, it's fair to be, like, people should be able to make money if you want to. Amlan can be a billionaire. I'm sure he will with his carbon capturing. And then he can pay off all of our student loans, and I'll be so thankful. But I also think that, like, you know, we don't need to defend them because we don't earn anything by defending rich people, because technically we're probably not going to be them. You know what I'm trying to say?
I mean, I don't know. Again, it depends how you, what you define as rich too, because I won't say I'm necessarily rich,
yeah.
But I know compared to my cousins back home in Cameroon who live in, in their nice, fully awesome villages, I would look very extravagantly more wealthy compared to them, but I won't call myself rich. They probably would call me rich, even though, like you, I probably only have 142. Well, I just got my CERB, but $142 before CERB in the bank account. But yeah, no, yeah.
But like my point,
fun my idea. Let's all stand Jada Essence Hall for the winner of Drag Race 12. She is by far the best of any of the possible queens to win. Not only has she done amazing in every one of the challenges, however, she's also consistent. Like, she made every single one of the garments that she brought on the runway, and that is not brought up enough and respected enough. Like, it's one way, it's great to design garments, yes, but when you've designed and built every single thing that you walk on the runway with, that needs to be brought up, and that is not reflected in the critique she's received yet. So anyways, Stan Jada.
David, I was going to tell you, but my roommate is actually friends with one of the people who's going to be on the Canadian Drag Race, Drag Race Canada, whatever it's called, because she went to Schulich, so that's very cool.
Nice. I'm
always
super, super excited about
it. As much as I love the banter about billionaires, Bezos, and drag queens, also a RuPaul fan, but thanks, David, for spoiling the semifinal. I hadn't yet watched the season, but that's just what we get being Speaker of Council. awesome. So moving into our more business here, we've got two more motions and then an in-camera session. So we should be able to get out of here like well before 9 o'clock, which is great. Love to be efficient with this to take up less of your time. But on to our next motion here. Vice President Draper moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the vacant position on nominating committee. And I'm just going to call for a secondary to that before I let Vice President Draper introduce. President Agarwal, thank you. And Vice President Draper, I'm going to give you a minute to introduce this one.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Actually, I do apologize. Sorry, I did skip a motion. We're going to come right back to it afterwards. I didn't notice that, but we'll come back to VP Cron's motion afterwards. But okay. David, go ahead.
So one of the things in standing orders is that when there is a vacant position on a committee, that the chair has to bring that vacancy to be filled at the next council meeting. And when we went into non-com last meeting, there was a vacant position. So I'm bringing that vacant position to be filled at the next student council.
Excellent. And if any members of council would like to nominate somebody or nominate themselves, please throw yourselves in the speakers list and I can call upon you. All right, President Agarwal.
Can I nominate Councillor Suretsky?
Councillor Suretsky, go ahead.
I'll accept the nomination. Thank you, Joel.
Excellent. Councillor Yabut, go ahead.
I would love to nominate Councillor DeGrano. I feel like she'll be amazing in this.
Councillor DeGrano.
I'm going to have to politely decline, but thank you for thinking of me.
So I'm going to call for any more nominations here. Councillor Brandwin, go ahead.
Hi, I'd like to nominate myself.
All right, and I'm assuming you're going to accept it.
Yes, of course.
Glad to hear. It'd be awkward if you rejected it. But okay, anybody else? Councillor Bose, go ahead.
Oh, I just have to do this. I would like to nominate myself.
Are you going to reject it, Councillor Bose?
Yes.
I'll take that as rejected, but thank you. Perfect. Is there anybody else on the speakers list that would like to nominate? Okay, seeing none, we're going to go into speeches here. So each member that was nominated gets 1 minute to speak as to why they would like to be part of the nomination committee. And we're going to start things off with Councillor Suretsky.
Thank you. So To be honest, I don't have much of an idea what the nominating committee does, but I feel like if I do get to be a part of it, I will be focused and attentive, and I think I can help improve the committee with being with sitting on it. Thank you.
Excellent. Go ahead there, Councillor Brandwein.
All right. So can everyone hear me? All right. So yeah, my name's Nathan. I'm a pharmacy student currently on rotation in community pharmacy. A lot of fun. I've been on campus for a long time, kind of like a million years. And I think that I would be like really well suited for selection to the nominating committee as a member, because I have a lot of experience with facilitating interviews and appointments to a number of executive and leadership positions in various clubs and student groups on campus, including Brand Awareness Movement, Week of Welcome, and the Physiology Students Association. And I also help run a local tutoring business and was responsible in the fall for filling tutoring positions by interviewing, selecting, and hiring a number of individuals to tutor high school students. So yeah, I think that that qualifies me for this selection.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Brandwein. And with that, I will post a link to the chat there. It's accessible to you all now. You can go ahead and vote. And while you're all going ahead there and voting, I did take the time during the break to calculate the vote from the Sustainability Committee, and I threw it in the chat, but it kind of got buried. But the successful nominees for the Sustainability Committee are Councillor Dixon, Councillor Ackerman, Councillor Bowes, and Vice President Draper. So congratulations to the four of you, and thank you to everybody who put their name forward on that. Okay, and there are still a few more responses waiting to come in for the nominating committee, just based on how many responses we got from the other votes. So if you haven't yet voted, please go ahead and do so. But yeah, I'll be able to announce the result right away here too. But okay, so while it finishes tabulating, we'll go into the next order of business here. So going back to item 7C, Vice President Cron moves to appoint one member of Students Council to the Student Legal Services Board. So could I get a secondary for that motion? Thank you, Councillor Buchanan. And Vice President Cron, you have 1 minute to introduce.
Thank you very much, folks. So as you may know, the Student Legal Services enables University of Alberta law students to provide free legal information and assistance to the low-income community in Edmonton, as well as to contribute to legal reform and legal education efforts as they impact poverty law issues. Each year, over 250 students from the U of A's Faculty of Law volunteer with Student Legal Services to provide legal information and assist with legal matters in provincial court. During the summer, Student Legal Services employs 28 law students who work as student caseworkers on various civil, family, and criminal matters. Please go ahead with your nominations. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Cron. So first on our speaking list is Councillor Buchanan. Oh, sorry, Vice President Kidd. Or no, actually, there's Councillor Buchanan on here twice. Councillor Buchanan.
Second.
Okay, Vice President Kidd, go ahead with your nomination.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Buchanan.
Unfortunately, I am unable to sit on the committee due to a conflict of interest, as I am one of the 28 faculty members that is employed by Student Legal Services in the summer.
Excellent. Thank you for your honesty and transparency, Councillor Buchanan. And now, do you have a nomination that you'd like to send out as well?
No, I was trying to get in there to say that before anyone nominated me.
excellent. Okay. In future, if you want to do that, you could send out, in that circumstance, I think within the rules to allow that, like a point of information could work just to state it, or even a point of privilege so that council is privileged with that information. Either of those two work. But okay, Councillor Filipovic, go ahead.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Oliveira.
Councillor Oliveira, go ahead.
Hi, unfortunately, I have to decline. Thank you for the nomination, though.
Great, thank you, Councillor Oliveira. Vice President Draper, go ahead.
I would like to nominate Councillor Futang.
Councillor Futang?
Sure, I'll accept. Thank you.
Awesome. Councillor Dillon?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Montero.
Councillor Montero?
I respectfully decline.
Vice President Lay?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Ackerman.
Councillor Ackerman, go ahead.
I respectfully decline.
Okay, and this does President Agarwal.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Marquis.
Oh, decline, thank you.
Councillor Dillon?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Veloso.
Councillor Veloso, go ahead.
I'd like to respectfully decline.
Okay, so at this time, that does exhaust our speakers list, but I will call one last time for any self-nominations or any nominations, but if not, Vice President Lay?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Bid. Come on, y'all, we got to have a competitive election.
Councillor Bid?
I respectfully decline. Thank you. Sorry, I couldn't hear for a while.
That's okay. Councillor Dillon, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to nominate Councillor DeGrano.
Councillor DeGrano?
I'm going to have to respectfully decline as well. Thank you for thinking of me.
And Councillor Dillon, did you have a second nomination as well?
Yeah, I'll nominate Councillor Corday.
I could accept that, yeah.
Okay, so we have a contested election by the sounds of that. Excellent. President Agarwal.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Yabut.
Councillor Yabut, go ahead.
I would love to accept a nomination.
Excellent. Do we have anybody else on the speaking list? Councillor Bobes.
Yeah, I think Councillor Dixon wants to nominate someone, but she sent me a message privately.
Send Sorry, so, yeah. Agarwal just did it. It's fine. I'm good. Thanks.
Okay. Vice President Kidd?
I would like to nominate Councillor Montero.
Nominated him.
I respectfully decline again.
Okay. Councillor Dillon?
That'd be amazing.
Councillor Ackerman?
Councillor Ackerman was already nominated.
Yeah, thank you, though.
Sorry.
That's okay. So that does exhaust our speakers list again here. So far for... Councillor Veloso, go ahead.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Dillon.
Councillor Dillon?
I'll accept.
Oh, excellent. Nice.
Vice President Kidd?
Never mind, just accept it.
All right. Are there any other nominations? Okay. Seeing none. We will go ahead and proceed with the speeches here. So going through the nominees, just as a reminder, everybody has 1 minute speaking turns, and just to indicate your interest into the committee. And then we will vote on a preferential ballot. But Councillor Futang, you have the floor here.
Hey, thank you. I'll be very quick. This is kind of spontaneous, but at the same time, just having read about it, it seems very interesting. And in my background and experience as a immigrant to Canada, I am very aware of the experiences we sometimes have with a lack of knowledge into the legal system and laws, and especially certain policies when you arrive into a country. So I know this is mostly aimed at low income individuals, but I can kind of share that experience where, without that knowledge, it's very hard to navigate. And there is a room for exploitation for a lot of us when we enter the country. So this kind of seems like a cool place to just kind of have a way to give back and work on giving back to the community in that sense. And it also seems like a cool experience to have to learn and work. Yeah, it's just kind of all just a learning and giving back experience. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Futang. Councillor Corday, go ahead there.
Hi. So I do not have much experience in this field, but I think it's an issue that is actually close to my heart, where I would like to help people in the low income bracket. I don't know if this is the correct way to say it, but through the student legal services, because I think I could learn and give back to my community as much as possible. It's an issue as an international student that I could help with my experience, maybe. That's it.
Excellent, thank you. And Councillor Buchanan, I just had a note of a point of information here from you. In a message, yes. Did you mean to send that one privately?
Yes, just for everyone's information, yes, Student Legal Services serves the low-income community primarily, but we also serve the entire student body. As long as you have a one card, we can help you out with a certain criminal, family, and civil things as well. So you're part of our,
audience. Thank you, Councillor Buchanan. Councillor Yabut, you have 1 minute here.
Hi, everyone. I'm really passionate about student legal services because a big part of my platform when I was running for council was giving voice to marginalized voices in my faculty, and through student legal services and their work, I can give my help as much as I could in any way that I could to all these marginalized voices and just people that need access to justice in Edmonton, especially at the University of Alberta. So I would really love to be a part of this board. And so, yeah, thank you so much.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Yabut. So I will go ahead and post the link to go and vote here. Should be in the chat and accessible for you all now. And while you all go to vote, I'm just going to pull up the result from the nominating committee, just to keep things really on track here. But the results from the nominating committee are the successful nominee was Councillor Brandwein. So congratulations to Councillor Brandwein, and thank you to everybody who put their name forward on that. But Navneet, just let me know if you got that for the minutes there. Oh, excellent, it's highlighted, perfect. Okay. Excellent, and I'll be able to calculate the results from the Student Legal Services Board and have those available soon. Okay, but going into the next item on our agenda, item E, or 7E, President Agarwal moves to appoint 2 members of Students' Council to the Discipline, Interpretation, and Enforcement Board, or the DIE Board, Hiring Committee. So if I could just get a secondary on that motion before we introduce it. Thank you, Councillor Veloso. So President Agarwal, I'll give you a minute to introduce this here.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the DIE Board is the Discipline, Interpretation, and Enforcement Board. It is essentially the court or the judiciary arm of the Students' Union, essentially interpreting, enforcing bylaws of the Students' Union. Meets typically as required, and it's best known for their role in, you know, being an objective third party in SU elections when there's disputes or, you know, rules on challenging decisions, you know, with the chief returning officer. So very legally focused and an enforcement sort of an arm.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. So we'll open up the speakers list for anybody looking to do that. And just Joel, President Agarwal, as a point there, this is for the being the hiring committee, it would be a committee to hire judiciaries to the DIE Board, correct?
Yes, sorry.
Excellent. Perfect. So that's all good and clear. And it also appears that you are the first on the speaker's list, President Agarwal.
Thanks again. I was going to nominate Councillor Buchanan.
I accept.
Awesome. One for one. Councillor Bid.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Hariharan.
I accept.
Look at this, 2 for 2. Okay. Councillor Dillon.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Soretsky.
Councillor Soretsky?
I'd like to respectfully decline.
Okay. Vice President Lay, it looks like you rescinded yourself from the speakers list, if I'm not mistaken. But if there are any other nominations, please do let me know. Or indicate so in the chat. I'll give another 10 seconds here so we can get some nominees in the chat or some speaker people on speakers list. Okay. So seeing none, and seeing how we needed 2 members, it looks like we do not actually need to go to a vote, which is nice. So congratulations to Councillor Buchanan and Councillor Hariharan for your appointment to the Discipline, Interpretation, and Enforcement Board Hiring Committee. So that is great. And that will then conclude the committee and board business. And nothing in the general orders for today, but there was a standing item to go into closed. So President Agarwal will motion to go into closed. And then I'm just going to ask that any guests of council please excuse themselves from the meeting here now. So Pia, if you're still here. Excellent. Yeah, I hope you have a wonderful evening. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Or if you're coming back afterwards, but this is the end of the meeting after that. So, but as of 8:03 p.m. in Alberta, we are enclosed. So President Agarwal, I will give you the floor.
Yeah, can I, Mr. Speaker, can I also motion to committee of the whole?
Yeah, certainly. I'm actually not sure if that needs a vote. Let me just really quickly check here. Oh yeah, so we can go into committee of the whole. We just need a secondary on it. Excellent. Thank you for that. And actually, could I also just get a second for the motion to go into camera? Thank you, Councillor Buchanan. And thank you, Councillor Veloso on the secondary to go to committee of the whole. But okay, we're in committee of the whole.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'm happy if you want to moderate as well, even though that we're in committee of the whole. I think it might be easier if you moderate questions or.
Sure. I'll just play it on the fly. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Awesome. So I wanted to have a discussion. The executive team has been talking a lot, and you folks have all probably been aware of the situation that's been going on here at the university. You know, COVID has posed a lot of challenges for students, for faculty, staff, on top of which, you know, there's already the insane budget cuts that are like, you know, putting the university in such a difficult predicament with forcing the university to increase tuition 7% for the next 3 years. You know, over the past few months, the university has had to lay off, you know, almost 1,000 staff. You know, there's threats to, you know, what education really looks like, what post-secondary education is supposed to be, and a threat to the University of Alberta as a whole. Added to this, over the past long weekend, you've all probably seen a petition going around where a lot of students and presumably so other members that are not a part of the University of Alberta community, essentially non-students, are signing a petition asking the university to reduce tuition. We as an executive team have been sort of discussing this and trying to figure out what our response is going to be to this. I know that, you know, in conversations with the university admin, with, you know, Dave Turpin, with, you know, Steve Dew, the VP academic, the provost, and a lot of other folks, like, the position the university is in fiscally and financially makes it almost impossible for there to be any reduction in tuition. And I want to, the executive team, we as a whole, we wanted to bring this to council for sort of your thoughts on how the best way to approach this. I know there's probably a lot of you who've seen this already, and I wanted to just open it up as a general discussion. It's more just to get feedback and see what you folks are thinking as representatives of your respective faculties, see what, you know, students are telling you, and sort of being that voice of channel. So I just want to open it up to the floor. If folks have any thoughts or comments about this, you put it in the chat, and I guess Jared will moderate that.
Excellent. Yeah. So on this point, like, thank you, President Agarwal, for your notes there. On this point, I just wanted to bring up a really important piece that when we all join council, like, the purpose of an in-camera session is to deal with matters that are typically more sensitive to the public, and they're meant to be like private and internal to council. So that's the reason why you all signed your non-disclosure forms for in-council sessions. So anything said over this group chat has to remain within members of council, so you aren't talking without members of council. And to the proxy here today, Maya, for this, like, you are able to update your counselor on this. So you can update Councillor Kamani all you want about this part, but we do ask that you don't disclose any of this information with anybody outside of council. But with that, excellent. We already have a speakers list kind of going here. So for this, the speakers list is, like, you all can see it. So we can kind of just follow along and go with that and sort of just moderate when your turn. And then I'll jump in if anything's like super out of order. But Councillor Dixon, you've got the floor here.
Thank you. So I kind of have two main points on this. My first one is a question. I forget where I read it or saw it, but I thought that they were cutting some of the fees that students usually pay, though I might be wrong about that. Is that true?
I can just jump in. Yeah, that's so for spring and summer, the Students' Union pushed the university and worked really closely with the university to remove certain mandatory non-instructional fees. So the athletics and recreation fee was removed. I think the PAW Center fee is also removed, and obviously the UPass. That's something we're 100% committed to pushing for the fall semester as well. I think the online petition is more specifically referring to tuition.
Yeah. Okay. So that was kind of my first question, because I'd read that, and I just wanted to make sure that was something that we were going to continue. I thought you guys had said you'd done advocacy for that, so I wanted to make sure that was continuing into the next year. My second thing is, I personally understand why there has been a lot of discussion around this from like why the university is hesitant to decreasing tuition, but at the same time, I think it's what students are asking for. And because we're supposed to be following what students want, then wouldn't that mean that we then necessarily need to do advocacy around what students are calling for? Because this does seem like something that I know a lot of my friends are advocating for, obviously this petition, etc. So it seems like something where we should be working collaboratively, even though it is a very tricky situation, to kind of work towards decreasing tuition for students. And my final thing, it'll be super quick, is another big issue that people have brought to my attention, and maybe David can talk a little bit to this, is that there's still a lot of profs, even in my spring classes, who are making us buy textbooks that we have to order to our house and stuff, which is expensive. Like I had one that was $35, and for me, I'm fine because, you know, I'm working, so that was okay. But for a lot of students, I know that if they have to keep paying for textbooks at the same price as usual, they'll be screwed over. So yeah, those are just some of my quick thoughts. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree there with Councillor Dixon. I speak for the engineers. We received an email stating that our tuition will not decrease at all. However, I have got friends who have brought up issues such as we wouldn't be having any labs. Engineers have been told that everything for them will be happening online. So the experience of doing hands-on activities is no longer there. And so they think that the tuition shouldn't be as much as it was before. Secondly, this is a personal opinion of mine. There may have been costs which were higher before, such as building maintenance costs, hiring several professors for several different classes. But with online classes, since we're moving to mostly online classes, I think that a single professor or a few professors can handle a large group. All the university might need to invest is in the ICT resources. So I'm not sure if it's more expensive to use these ICT resources. If it's not, then the university tuition fees should reduce. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, both great points made by both of the previous speakers. I had kind of a question to pose to the execs, if you could speak to this at all. Nursing students were told that our lectures will definitely be online, but our lab and clinical experiences will continue as planned. So, for us, a lot of nursing students do rely on the UPass to obviously get to school for their labs and also to their clinical experiences. So I was just wondering if that was going to be made like an optional thing or how we were going to go about with that. And also, I do understand why a lot of students are concerned that we might be paying the same for online classes. However, the Faculty of Nursing before COVID even happened cut about half of their administrative staff from like the faculty office. And it's like been such a like crazy time trying to get in touch with them. So I know a lot of nursing students are nervous that like if tuition goes down, like our supports by the faculty and the quality of like our educators and the quality of our classes will go down as well. So that's just like another point, but I do definitely agree that it's kind of doesn't make sense to be paying the same amount if you're not going to campus every day.
Yeah, and I think just to the knowledge that we have from the university right now is that they're going to be flexible for students who may not be able to attend in person for either lab or clinicals or whatever classes are offered in person. So that's kind of all we have right now.
I'll just answer the question about the UPass. So the UPass was just canceled because transit is free right now. So it doesn't make sense to charge for something that you could access for free. The UPass will be brought back when they start charging for transit again, for whatever semester that will be. We might have an update on that in a few weeks, but no guarantees, obviously, as the situation changes. So, any more questions about the UPass, me or Vice President Cron can answer.
My question was already kind of touched upon by Councillor Filipovich. So, okay.
Oh, so it's me. So yeah, so during the last council meeting, I asked this question to President Agarwal. I don't know whether you guys remember or not. So yeah, this might be once in a lifetime scenario, but I am agreeing to Councillor Dixon. Yes, we are students' voice. And I think that's what the students want. They want us to advocate for the reduction of tuition fees. And to me, it completely makes sense. Let's say for engineering, first year students, last year there were 1400 first year engineering students, and they usually have like five different sections for a single course, like 5 to 6, it depends, but let's just, for the calculation, let's keep it to 5. Since it's online now, literally one professor can teach the whole course. So yes, I see that we should be advocating to reduce the tuition fees. And what's gonna be the worst case scenario? Like if we do advocate, like there's no harm, right? Like the best case scenario, they're gonna reduce the tuition fees, but which is very unlikely. They're not, I mean, to be realistic, they're not gonna, but what's the worst case scenario? They're not gonna, right? Like it's not harming us anyway. So I would definitely vote or like support for advocating to reduce the tuition fees. And yeah, that's all from me.
Also, I just wanted to good point, Salman. I think to clarify it, you know, we're not trying to, you know, make, you know, defend the university at all. Like I think we're the students union and we represent students, which is why I want to hear your feedback as to what it is, you know, in terms of going forward, whether it whether we take what Almond was saying or Talia was saying. So but thanks for that feedback.
So as a piece of something I'm going to hop in with here, just that I'm noticing a little bit in the debate that's slightly out of order, is that there are statements being made that presuppose an argument in that, just for an example, like Councillor Bowes, when you mentioned that like one teacher could, or one prof could in theory teach, you know, 7 sections of a course, while it could be true, that's not an action that the university, to my knowledge, has declared that they'll be taking. And so we can't speculate as to what the university is going to be doing rather than merely making suggestions towards what like the executive should be doing in terms of their advocacy. But if we assume an action and then take that assumed action as substance to a recommendation to the executive, then that the logical part of that just doesn't quite add up. So that's the reasoning in which I called that part slightly out of order. And also, as just like a point of information that would be substantive to this debate, I was speaking with Professor Hannah from the Department of Physics, I believe. I don't know, physical chemistry. And they had noted that the university is looking for their like first year bio courses or first year chemistry courses and whatnot that have a lab component. They're looking at separating it now so that you can take your chemistry 101 course, your seminar, and then you can take your chemistry 101 lab, but they may be differentiated so that students may have to take a lab in a different semester than they would have taken the course. But that's the information that I received. But actually, Board Rep Conrad, you're up next here.
Thanks. Very touchy subject. And as Joel said, there are many facets to this. I think there's a lot of intersectionality, a lot of compounding issues. Right, as we know, the government's hurting us with the current budget. And yes, that with COVID, with whatever else, I think there are, and yeah, just like Joel said, not to defend anyone, but I think there are a lot of expenses that are there that maybe we as students just don't know about. But that's also something I'm very interested in looking more into to see what's going on with our money. Because yes, I think some of it is being misspent or mischarged to students, but I think a lot of it is valid. A single professor handling a large group, even as Jared's, like there's presupposition here. I disagree that a single professor can handle a large group. like in terms of marking, in terms of, and of course this is faculty specific, but in terms of marking, in terms of project mentoring, in terms of student interaction, one professor cannot do that with thousands of students. That's just, that is unrealistic and unfair to an individual. That, and yes, that's, that was all I had, but thanks.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Board Rep Conrad. And I just wanted to make a reminder towards the scope of the debate, just being more towards the introduction that President Agarwal made regarding tuition and next steps moving forward for the executive. So if we could focus like conversation towards that rather than like debate over what, you know, the university could or couldn't do, it'd just be more substantive to the conversation at hand.
So I'm going to talk about this sort of on a faculty level. So I'm an engineering student and our tuition is already one of the more expensive ones. And a lot of our courses are lab based. And we've received an email saying that none of them, we will have no in-person activities. So it doesn't make sense for us to be paying the same amount of tuition we would always be paying if all of our lab components aren't happening, especially if, as Speaker Larson said, there's going to be something where we have to take the lab component in a different semester, because if that does happen, I'm willing to bet they'll end up charging us tuition for that, even if they lump it into our tuition for this semester. So I feel like to do our jobs properly as student representatives, we have to listen to students and look at what makes sense. And so I would advocate for lowering tuition.
Councillor Dillon, you're up next on the list here.
Okay, hi everyone. So I have a couple thoughts and I'm gonna just frame it as kind of my opinion and then kind of where I think we should move forward. So I think we should definitely be working towards reducing fees. International students are going to be hit extremely hard. Education itself will take a huge hit due to COVID-19, and not all students can afford the means to succeed on online classes, whether that be like being from a poor Wi-Fi area or being economically hit. We can't expect these students who are being affected so, I guess, in like such a rough manner to succeed. And I think that as the Students Union, we should be fighting for the needs of our most vulnerable, wherever they are from, wherever they're going to be accessing their courses, and however they are going to be accessing their courses. Our main prerogative is always fighting for the needs of our most vulnerable. And I think maybe it's important to look at, you know, many of these in-person labs are getting canceled. I know for myself, I'm in science. You know, some labs are obviously still in place, but many are getting canceled. A lot of in-person elements are being canceled. Obviously, I think, like, in my personal opinion, disagreeing with Councillor Conrad and kind of aligning with Councillor Bowes, I do think that it is possible to look towards, you know, if certain faculties can have more consensus on a single prof teaching a course. Obviously, this is more theoretical because we can't obviously make an assumption, but I think these are steps that we should look towards in reducing tuition, because I think it's extremely important.
Excellent. Councillor Dixon, go ahead.
Yeah, Simon, that was amazing. Loved all of those comments. Definitely along the lines of what I'm thinking is that, you know, first of all, like I already said, we're seeing an outcry of students that they actually want this. And so I think our options are kind of that, because that's what students are largely saying. But also, I think we're not just talking about like, oh, should we do this? It's a matter of the fact that I think a lot of students are going to, in this case, not be able to afford university anymore, because a lot of people have lost their jobs. And school also becomes very expensive when you have to buy a new laptop or whatever is going on specifically for you, or where you're now living off of very small checks and you're a parent. And so I'm thinking that the only choice that we have is to advocate for lower tuition. I don't think it's necessarily a choice. And I think it would be absolutely wrong not to, because this is like COVID times. It's not regular times. And I think that everybody's going to be so disproportionately affected that there is not really an option there. Because people are just losing their incomes. Like I know, like out of all of my friends, I think like four are still employed and they're all working online with reduced hours. And so I think
that the best thing to do in this case is to like really back students, but particularly, as Simran said, kind of more marginalized students, because oftentimes like they're going to be the hardest hit by this. Yeah, that's my final thought on it, I guess.
Excellent. Councillor Buchanan?
Hi. From the law student's perspective, I'd really like to second Filipovich's comments in regard to previous cuts to the support staff and how that's affected instruction to us. A lot of the instruction that is provided in the law school is provided by practicing lawyers and judges that really don't get paid that much. They're really doing it out of, they get paid. They're not doing it for free, but they're really kind of doing it out of the duty to owing to the profession itself. And so making it easy for them is really an important part with the support staff, even to the extent, I don't know if many of you know that the law faculty doesn't take a week off in the fall, and part of the conversation, well, how can we do that as well? We could start a week before Labor Day. Well, that just causes enough disruption to the sessional instructors that that's kind of off the table. Also on that lines, decreasing the amount of money available would be concerning because it decreases the number of courses that are available, which is really important because there's for law students, there's lots of niche areas to go, and having those options for people how to spread out to be able to bring in these instructors to teach those areas really hampers the quality of the education. And in a more broad-based assessment for the university as a whole, we really don't know this, but there's a really big possibility that the enrollment is going to be drastically decreased in the fall. I mean, oftentimes in a recession, enrollment goes up because people are unemployed, but this is so different than a regular recession because of, you know, the social distancing, everything. We really don't know what's going to happen. And it's a very big possibility that the enrollment could decrease, which would place even more financial stress on the university. So I think I've seen conversations, the importance on maintaining quality for the people that are attending is an important part.
Excellent. Councillor Oliveira, you're up next here.
So I would love to see a decrease in tuition. Like, I pay a lot of money, for classes, but it worries me because the university is already in such a difficult financial situation. And my department in particular has seen a lot of cuts over the past years. My degree has changed name twice over the past 5 years just because they want to decrease and the university refuses to hire new professors. So it just worries me that if we decrease tuition, we're going to decrease the amount of resources available, especially for like smaller departments or departments that the university doesn't care about as much. And another thing that really worries me is the conversation about having one prof teaching one whole class for like 1,000 students. Profs are already under so much pressure of teaching so many classes. I don't like listen to the other profs, right? Like, are they laid off? Are we not paying them? Oh, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Okay. So like, are we just going to lay off the other profs that are not teaching? And I don't want any of my profs to be laid off, and I just want them all to be paid properly, and I don't want to see any other cuts to my department. So yeah, that's all. That's just what I'm thinking about.
Thank you, Councillor Oliveira. Councillor Corday, go ahead there. And then I'll just like let y'all watch the speakers list and speak in turn from there.
Hi. So I think in my opinion, tuition fees should be definitely be decreased. I speak on the behalf of international students as well as students who are affected a lot by this. Like people aren't being paid for their jobs. People are being laid off left and right. I think even with the CERB and the CESB not being paid to the international students is a big hit because we are still paying the same amount of fees, which is almost thrice the amount that Canadian students are paying. A lot of services are not being used right now, like the buildings are not being used, your labs are not happening in person. So I think fees in regarding to those kind of services should be lessened or reduced. I think even certain, I don't know if this is true or not, but I think certain facilities like the gym or the parking facilities could be made optional to be paid. I don't know if I'm correct about this. Do correct me if I'm wrong. I think in the long run, decreasing fees would be the better option, or at least making sure that fees is not increased, because I know that the university is going through budget cuts as well. But I think representing my students and my faculty, I'd say that decreasing the fees would be the better option to go over here.
So my view is that, yes, I think a lot of students are advocating for lower tuition fees, and that is the point. We represent the student body and their wants. I do think that, I want to say uneducated is not necessarily the right term to use, but a lot of the student body doesn't necessarily think about all the other, like the all the details and the entire picture. It's more so about like them and their degrees and the price of tuition that they're paying, and that they don't necessarily care about. They care about the operation of the university, but I don't think it's the first thing that comes to their mind, right? They don't take a step back and think about the whole big picture. So I think that if we do go about advocating for lower tuition, we have to be, you know, kind of more strategic about it. And again, maybe target those, specifically those lab courses where you can truly make an argument, well, they're not happening, so they shouldn't be, we shouldn't be paying as much for them. But, you know, ultimately, like the biggest costs to the university are our staff for, like, and not just for professors, right? There's all the support staff, the faculty, administration, like, operations, like there's like that's the biggest cost, and those for the most part don't really go down. It's kind of hard to know exactly what the costs are as far as like how many sessional instructors there are versus like tenured professors who are going to get paid regardless. So, you know, it's not really, I don't think it's seeing the lens of, yeah, one prof for 1,000 students doesn't make sense, because if we have to pay a lot of profs regardless. I guess my view is, yes, I think we should listen to the people we represent, but we just can be strategic about how we go about achieving those desires of the students.
According to what Councillor Oliveira said, we obviously don't want professors to be laid off or courses to be cut down. But I think, as Governor Conrad was saying, we need to identify the costs the university will be bearing, because there'll certainly be some costs that they don't have to pay for at this time. And if we can identify those costs, then we'll have a better position from which we can determine if the tuition fees can be reduced. And again, how much is the university going to reduce the cost by? If they reduce exaggerating here, but if they reduce it by just $1, it's not going to make a difference. So how much are they going to reduce it by? We also need to look at that. So identifying the costs the university will be having right now, it would really lead the path on. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for that point, dear. Advocating for transparency, if we're talking about, yes, tangible exact takeaways, if you can go to the university and say, can you please show students where their money is going, specifically so that when they say, why is my tuition so high, you can say, well, actually, you're supporting this cause, this whatever. And I don't know to what extent that can happen, because those can be very complex number, whatever. And legally, I don't know how the university is bound by sharing or not sharing, but I think it makes sense for the students to know more about what's happening, especially when numbers are going up. Maintain quality for current attendees. I like that argument. the advocating for government support is something we haven't mentioned yet, and I guess that's already a given in our context because it's what execs are doing. But continuing that and remembering that it is the provincial government that has hurt us. That is part of the issue. It's not the entire issue, because COVID's a big thing too. And I think arguably the way COVID is currently being treated by our provincial government, there may be a resurgence in infection, which will in turn damage our economy again, which will in turn affect students, which will affect our tuition. Like, this is all compounded and related. But I think execs, if you can continue government support, advocating for government support at provincial and federal levels, that would be wise. And remembering that at a university face, students and university admin are united, not against, but when addressing the provincial government, that they are a deeper cause of this issue. And I also really appreciate the tuition decrease based on labs. That makes a lot of sense. And just earlier to Councillor Dillon and Councillor Dixon, I didn't need to say we shouldn't advocate for lower tuition. I was just hoping or trying to think about the other side too, but I understand as elected representatives, the council is responsible to uphold the needs of students, and I do support that.
I totally agree with everything that Bogrep Conrad has been saying this whole time. And with my own personal perspective, when I first heard about the news of the fall semester going online and our tuition fees not changing, I talked to a bunch of other students in my faculty, and they all had the same concerns about, the quality of education we were receiving and in relation to like the tuition we're paying. And although after like having, more time to think about it and think about it critically, that it makes sense if you look at it in the university perspective why the tuition wouldn't change, because of the news last year, the projected 7% increase every year of tuition. But I think I'd really like to highlight what Representative Conrad said with just having transparency. So I don't think most students, think about the 7% increase because of the government cuts to university. But with that being said, I agree with Councillor Dixon and how at the end of the day, the Students' Union is in charge of the students. And I was actually looking through the petition website, and like there's something in the very bottom, there's a bunch of comments of the reasons why people are signing. And a lot of them has been focused on not only the quality of education, but also non-instructional fees, and how if students aren't able to access facilities such as the gym or like different libraries, then we shouldn't be paying for those fees. And I think as student representatives, we need to advocate for what students want. And I think that the executives, need to show that the Students' Union is with the students.
Excellent. Councillor Dillon, go ahead there.
Okay, so thank you everyone for everything that's been said so far. I think this is an extremely interesting topic in regards to how it's affecting each faculty differently. The Faculty of Science is so big that it can't really be compared to the Faculty of Law and to the Faculty of Nursing, because I do totally agree with what Councillors Filipovic, I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong, and Councillor Buchanan said, but obviously they may not be as relevant to someone as like me, who's in such a large faculty. I'm just wondering if there can be a more holistic approach to take, other than a blanket solution for all faculties. You can put a Band-Aid on a cut, but you can't put a Band-Aid on something like strep throat. So we definitely should gauge students. And I don't know if there's a way we can ask students what they think and what, obviously a lot of students are advocating for lowering tuition, but, it would be interesting because we're only a certain amount of students here. We're only affected somewhat, that, there's a larger group of students that probably have more ideas on how they're affected and, what they think, how tuition should be reduced. I'm sorry if that came out wrong. But I really like what Board of Governors Representative Conrad said, that if we show students what they are paying for, maybe they can also propose ideas for, you know, how we can reduce tuition. Because I think right now people are thinking like, yeah, it's just courses, but there's varying aspects to our tuition costs. There's ways that we're already lowering them. And I think that should be shown to the students because it shows that we are fighting for them. But I definitely think that that might propose more interesting solutions to how we're going to decrease tuition. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been thinking. But yeah, thanks.
I just had a quick suggestion that just came to mind. So I did a little bit of research before this meeting and I wasn't able to find anything, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the University of Alberta has instituted like a COVID financial bursary like McEwen University has. My sister goes to McEwen and you're able to apply for like $1,000 like emergency relief. I feel like that's something maybe that the execs could advocate for. If tuition is unable to be changed, well, maybe the university can provide like a discount to tuition for people who are in financial need and who are able to like demonstrate that. I feel like that could be something that we can advocate for in the case that lowering tuition is not possible.
Okay. So first of all, I'm just going to be like very clear here. I'm going to talk as like an ed student because I'm the only ed student on council, even though I am an exec, just so this is not me representing the execs or anything like that. The first thing I just want to say to be like clear, as much as like I think, you know, our tuition has value to the university, we are the students' union. So we should be showing students how valuable their SU fee is and like what we spend that money on. And that's a conversation we can have at a later date, but we aren't responsible for showing them what their tuition does. That is the university. We can suggest that's something they do, but it's not our responsibility, if that makes sense, because we don't collect the tuition. So we don't, I would, and other people can correct me if they're wrong, but I'm not sure we fully actually know what every cent of it does. Then as an ed student, I'm going to be so blunt, and this is because I've done two practicums. Anyone who's on practicum next semester, if they are not in a class, their classes are literally almost worthless. And I'm so sorry to them because it sucks. But like those classes, all they are about is that in-person practical teaching knowledge, and they are going to miss out on all of it, especially if you're an international student and you're in a country where you can't even like kind of try and do group projects or group teaching. Now I know like this gets into educational theory and can you adapt to teaching Zoom, but like that's not the same thing, right? So why are they paying so much tuition and why are they paying such high tuition to lose out on an experience that is fundamental to them getting a job, right? Like for those of you who aren't teachers, so most of you, what they look at is how your review was on your practicum and like what your mentor teacher said about you. So if they're not able to go into class or if they're not getting the same amount of knowledge from the classes they are taking, why are they paying so much for it? Like I just will never be able to personally, as an ed student talking to my ed student friends who had their practicums canceled and who are now screwed trying to get jobs compared to people who have those letters, I don't think it's fair that they have to still pay a high tuition when they're losing such a valuable experience. And I think this also comes for other faculties, but I can't speak to those officially.
Yeah, so Katie kind of spoke about this a little bit, but my big thing is we're talking a lot about like the university's budget, like, oh, maybe we should show it off and like, oh, it's going to be very hard for them. I literally don't care. I'm not a representative for the university. It's not my job to make sure that they have a balanced budget. It's not my job to make sure that they're not getting, you know, harmed because of COVID and because of provincial governments. They continuously fail students because they don't recognize us. So I'm not here to defend them or really worry about them. I do have empathy because it's a shitty situation to have your whole budget cut and then also have COVID. But our job primarily is to represent students, and that's the exec's job. And so I think, again, like that's really the only case. The other thing that I want to talk about really quickly is about the optics of all of this. If the exec doesn't go hard on this kind of thing, my main worry is that we're going to have something similar to kind of what happened after the premier was elected, where a lot of students, even if a lot of good work was being done, because it wasn't enough for them, get really angry at the executive and at Students' Council and say, oh, you don't do anything for us. And we see how that impacts a lot of student governance. And so I think that this is a very clear case of, you know, the best way to prevent lashback from the majority of students is to actually take like a very hard stance and be like, no, this is what students need. This is what they want. And honestly, we probably won't be successful with this. Like no matter what the exec does, I honestly do not think that it will result in anything, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try or go as hard as you possibly can. Because that's what students expect, like by and large. And I think we can collect information about it, but this is probably like, and it's also what's best because we don't know how long this is going to go on and people are already struggling financially so much. So I guess my next question kind of moving forward is just how are we going to develop a very like well thought out and planned kind of strategic social media campaign to like make sure students are aware of what the SU is doing, even already what they're doing, as well as what they're going to be doing moving forward to work towards decreasing tuition, as well as how we're going to be doing a lot of that, or like how the exec's going to be doing a lot of that work with and against the university to make sure that they decrease tuition for fall. Thanks.
Councillor Olivera, go ahead.
So I've already expressed my concern over like what may happen if like resources are cut, but I do agree with Vice President Kidd, because as a language student, if students can't go to class and learn a language, they're going to be completely screwed and they're not going to learn this language at all, because you learn languages by being with other people and being able to speak that language. So without the class environment, a lot of students from like 100 level classes to 400 level classes are going to be completely screwed. So yeah, like from that point of view, like tuition should be reduced because they're not going to be like getting, like they're not going to be getting what they are paying for. It just sucks.
Councillor Buchanan?
Kind of a general question to the other faculties. In law, our dean has sent out an email today. They've started a committee that has students involved in it for planning for the fall and what courses may be delivered in person. I know some of the talk we've had with some of the smaller, obviously we don't have any labs, but in our larger lecture halls, some of the smaller classes could be held in the larger lecture hall, so there's still social distancing. Is it any of the other counselors experience, any of the faculties, have they started committees to have student engagement in the process for planning with the fall? Or is this something that just, you know, law is small so they can do that?
Councillor Fotang?
Is no one addressing Councillor Buchanan's question yet?
Or sorry, Councillor Buchanan, who's the question like posed to primarily?
Anyone, like has anyone heard from their faculty that they're starting a committee for involvement, or by not answering, like you haven't heard anything? Like has any other faculty heard that their faculty is trying to get students involved in planning for the fall? Like
I think Councillor Bowes had
Yeah, so I'm also the Vice President of Academics and Services for the Engineering Student Society, and so far we haven't received any kind of emails. So it might be just a law thing.
On a point of information there, Councillor Buchanan, for all of the basic like academic planning and like committees in the learning environment, every faculty will have like academic planning and learning environment planning, which they most usually involve students into. And there's also the academic planning committee for general faculty's council and the subcommittees on there, which have representation from students, executives, students at large, etc. So as far as like a per faculty thing unknown, but like most of the faculties have those commonplace. But from there, we have Councillor Montero. And just a note, we do have 5 people on the speakers list right now, ending with President Agarwal, and we have 10 minutes left before we have to extend.
Sounds good. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So Councillor Buchanan, to answer your question, so I'm in KSR, and the majority of our courses, I think in my entire degree, I've probably had maybe 2 courses that haven't involved a lab component or some sort of experiential learning. So for our faculty, it's extremely important for all the students, and they're extremely worried with how much they're paying in tuition because of that. So the faculty did send out an email to us that they are working on a process where fall instructors can apply to have approval for small groups and in-person learning for a lot of our classes. That's going to be brought forth to faculty council, and on faculty council there are members of our faculty association that sit on there. So student input will be given during that. I don't know, they're still developing it, and our faculty council is supposed to be moving to the, or it's supposed to be had at the end of May, May 27th. So I don't know what's coming of it yet, but I will be there for it. Then I can give the group some more information on that when that time comes. It's going to be up to the discretion of, I guess, the professor to decide whether they want to do that or not. Mainly because there are some professors that, you know, they may be immune compromised or whatnot and don't have the ability to be able to host in-person classes. So.
Councillor Brandwein, go ahead.
All right, so I just wanted to directly address Councillor Buchanan's question as well, just inquiring about how other faculties are responding to this. So really quickly, our dean, associate deans, and even our faculty council has not made any, for pharmacy, by the way, has not made any statements to any students formally. We do have a focus group that was created for each year to discuss sort of what, not decisions, but sort of how their thinking is going into the fall. Super important for us because we do placements beginning in year one, and this directly ties in to the kind of learning that we do in our practice skills lab. And we actually transitioned to doing entirely online learning for this course beginning in mid-March when we transitioned online. And it was like a completely different experience. And I can tell you that it was not nearly, not even close to being as effective as in person. So, and this is apparently, according to those who are part of the focus group, that this is expected to continue into fall, meaning that we won't have any in-person experiential learning in our fall semester, which is depriving us of essential information and application that we require in order to perform successfully in our placement. So yeah, that's just my 2 cents about how the Faculty of Pharmacy is dealing with this.
Just to also answer Councillor Buchanan's question, I've not really seen anything from the Faculty of Science. Maybe Councillor Dillon or anyone else in the any of the science counselors could maybe comment, but in terms of communication from the dean of the Faculty of Science, we haven't really heard anything. I guess it's a very large faculty, so maybe they're trying to be more central about how they're planning it, but yeah, nothing.
All right, so Councillor Brandwein withdrew his name. President Agarwal?
Yeah, so, okay, I just want to thank everyone for all the feedback. Clearly, there's a lot of various takes and a lot of impacts of this. So, you know, we're going to take this back and sort of mull over it and figure out what the best approach is. But, I do want to thank everyone. I think there's, you know, there are impacts of tuition, I mean, of moving online, and we do want to recognize that, and we do want to, like, make sure that that message is clear. So, we're appreciative of that. So thanks, folks. If there's nothing else, I guess I can move to go X camera. Is that right, Mr. Speaker?
That is correct. So we just go back into, I guess, you know, committee of the difference through like moving out of camera. I'll just get a secondary on that though as well. Perfect. Thank you, Councillor Buchanan. So with that, there are no additional items on the agenda. I did just want to make a note here regarding the Student Legal Services Board nomination. And the votes have been tabulated, but congratulations to Councillor Fu Tang for your nomination to the Student Legal Services Board. And thank you to the other councillors who put their name forward. So we'll just make sure that that's noted there. And I think that that's all of the results for the nominations, because there was three that were contested and one that was uncontested. So that should all be there then. And then with that, we'll just take attendance one more time here before we dismiss. So going through here, President Agarwal.
Present.
President Draper, sorry, Vice President Draper.
Present.
Vice President Lay.
Present.
Vice President Cron.
Present.
Vice President Kidd.
Present.
Vice President Conrad.
I'm not, but yes.
Sorry, Board Rep Conrad.
Yeah.
It's in the same section. I got confused. Councillor Carvajal. Perfect. Councillor Dixon.
Yep.
Councillor DeGrano.
Here.
Councillor Marquez.
Present.
Councillor Oliveira.
Present.
Councillor Veloso.
Present.
Councillor Yabut.
Here.
Councillor Burhani. Councillor Burhani, were you still here? Councillor Saretsky?
Present.
Councillor Ackerman?
Present.
Councillor Batiki?
Here.
Councillor Bid?
Present.
Councillor Bose?
Here.
Councillor Hariharan?
Present.
Councillor Montero? Councillor Montero, are you still there?
Oh, sorry, present.
That's okay. Councillor Buchanan?
Present.
Councillor Filipovich?
Present.
Councillor Brandwein?
Hello.
Councillor Enerson and Councillor Badesha, we're not here. Councillor Barazesh?
Present.
Councillor Dillon?
Present.
Councillor Futang?
Present.
Councillor Kamani, or proxy for Councillor Kamani?
Present.
Councillor Corday?
Present.
Myself, I'm here. General Manager Dumichel, are you still here?
He hopped off, Jared.
All right, Mark's gone. Okay, so with that, I do have to tell you when the next meeting of council is. Let me check my calendar. It's looking like May 2nd. 6 p.m. Excited to see you all there. But from that, like, thank you all. The in-camera discussion was quite fulsome, which was good, but we're finishing just right on time here. So with that, I will wish you all well for the next couple of weeks here, and see you in May, or June 2nd. My apologies.
Thanks, Jared.
Thank you for the correction there, President Agarwal. But I hope you all have a great night. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great evening.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.